Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony, in for Dan Proft.
Hey, I'm always happy to be here.
You know how we have Biden buddies?
Yeah.
You're my Friday friend.
It's my Friday friend.
We don't do Mondays.
No.
Maybe Tuesdays. Tuesdays.
Thursday and Fridays normally.
Yeah, Thursday. My Friday friend.
We've done a few Mondays.
We have?
Yeah, we've done a few Mondays.
I don't remember. All right, so how are you doing? How was your ride in?
It was busier this morning.
Because you just showed up.
I know. I'm normally here at like 5 o'clock, 4:40, 4:55, 5 o'clock. No, it was a little busy on the expressways.
What's going on? Traffic?
Yeah, it was a little traffic. On 55, more so.
Oh, okay.
355 was a good
shot. Is there construction?
Well, it's always construction. Hey, we're in Illinois. It's always construction.
Always. All right, so the other day you called me because you're going to park at our estate, our palatial estate in Wrigleyville.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got everything ready, moved the car, and you never showed up. What happened?
You know, I had a little journey on the way to Wrigley Field, the Cubs opener. I'm with my buddy. We're just getting off at the Damon, right off the Kennedy.
Damon exit. Fullerton, you mean?
Damon exit.
Oh, yeah. So we see Costco there.
Right. We see this guy. Could tell something was wrong with him. You know, he was hitting cars. Like physically punching them. Yeah, punching them. And then he was using the palm of his hand to hit, like, the windows and...
Oh, and like the rear view mirrors.
The rear view mirrors and the front windows, the windshield.
Ooh.
So he gets.
Was he black guy, white guy, Hispanic?
I really don't know what he was.
Was he here illegally?
I don't know what he was. He didn't talk, so.
Okay.
I have no idea. He had a big mangy beard.
Well, was he black or white?
He was fair skinned, light skinned.
Okay.
So, he looked either, you know, Latino or he could have been like some Serbian. I don't know.
Right. I know there's some.
And so he gets to our car, my buddy's car, and he takes the palm of his hand and just breaks off the side mirror. And so me and my buddy jumps out. We jump out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, because he just broke the side mirror off. And so my buddy, he goes right around to my buddy and spits in my buddy's face. So my buddy picks up his leg to kind of push him back. And so then he walks off. So my buddy called 911. So I called 911. But right,
please hold.
Now they got on fairly quick. But then they transferred me to state police because the ramp is considered state property.
Oh,
which where it happened.
Oh, so he was on the ramp. Okay,
he was on the ramp. Yeah, we were just coming up to the light on, but we were still on the ramp, so that's state property. So then next thing you know, I'm on the phone with CPD, telling them. And I'm not going to lie. I told him, I said, y'all better get here before this dude, before we really hurt this guy.
You should have heard
what I said to the police. So we're following the guy so he doesn't get away. My buddy's in the car.
Are you holding on to the rearview mirror?
No. That was still dangling.
Oh, okay.
On the car. So we're going, what's that? We're now on Damon. Would that be?
Fullerton, Elston.
Northbound.
Northbound Damon.
To Armitage.
Yeah.
We get on Armitage, we lose him.
Okay.
So he ducks into a store, and my buddy, we're looking. Because we were following from a very safe distance, because I didn't want to, you know, do anything to the guy. So my buddy said, oh, there he is, he's in the store. I said, that's not him. And when I look again, I said, oh, because it was a dark film on the window, the window. And next thing you know, he comes out. As soon as he comes out, Amy, I'm trying to move out of his way. Spits in my face. If I didn't have my sunglasses on, he would have got me directly in the eye.
Ew.
But it hit mostly my sunglasses, right? And then you could see, oh, it was nasty. So I immediately, it took every fiber in me. Amy, I put my fist, I was getting ready to knock this, like, uppercut him. He was that close to me. I was getting ready to uppercut him, and I stopped. And I said, I don't want, I'm in Chicago. I don't know how this is going to play out.
Somebody spits on you. Can't you fight back?
I mean, well.
Only in jail.
Well, I don't know about Chicago.
If somebody spits on you in jail, you can get an extra 7 years on your sentence.
Really?
Well, that's how it was back in the day.
So I'm still falling. And I lost my cool after that, Amy. I really did. And CPD, they were still looking for us at the ramp.
Oh, okay.
We had moved to Damon and Armitage. And I used a couple of expletives. You know, I don't use profanity.
No.
And I used some expletives to this guy. And so I started filming it because I wanted to, just in case anything happened, he got away somehow. And he came right back up to me. And I said, if you run up on me again, I'm going to knock you the you know what out.
Yeah.
And he saw me. I was real. I mean, I was. If he'd run up on me that time, I would have knocked Amy. I would have knocked that just.
So what store were you outside of? But you're in Armitage.
A corner store right on Damon and Armitage. I should say, I ran in there and put some hand sanitizer over my face. You know, I just got a clean beard cut and everything, man.
Why mess this up,
man?
So the cops finally came in.
So cops finally showed. I mean, they came deep too.
What do you mean?
They were like at least six cars that showed up. Because I did tell him, I said, I'm a former cop, and I told him, I said, listen, you guys better get here, because this dude, he started to get agitated. And as soon as the cop shows up, he goes, yeah, he's a mental. I don't care. I want him locked up. So in Chicago.
What does that mean, he's a mental?
So in Chicago, if you have a mental, this is what I'm
gathering. That's how they classify you?
Yeah. This guy was a mental case, so basically they don't go to jail. They go straight to a mental health facility. And I told the cop, I said, so I should have knocked him out and got something out of this? I told the cop that. He laughed, you know. And, I mean, I want, Amy, I haven't been that mad I don't know how long. I mean, I was, ooh, people around me, because I'm using my police voice at this at this time. I'm saying some
well,
of the things.
Can you give us your police voice?
Well, I mean.
Come on. Justin wants to hear it, too.
No, well. Come on. I mean, it's early. How about later in the show? I'll get my police voice up. That's just part of it. You see the inflection of my voice and how it rises. Hey, listen, get over here now. That's my police voice.
Wow.
Yeah. So they took him away.
A hair on my arms just went up.
Yeah, they took him away.
Uh-huh.
And we finally made it to the Cubs game. We were late, but Richard Porter, my buddy, gave us some. We literally sat. I had my MAGA hat. Oh, and then I had an awful moment. A Dan Prof awful moment.
What happened?
I'm at Wrigley. Got
with
my
your MAGA hat on.
And my Trump.
Sitting in the first row.
And my Trump sweatshirt on. Uh-huh. And so I go get something to eat.
Oh, no.
And I have my hat on.
Oh, boy.
My MAGA Republican hat on.
And somebody spits on you.
And this white lady.
Uh-oh.
I mean, now I'm in there. No, I mean, everybody. Yeah, good. I'm with you. I'm with Trump.
Really?
I'm with him. Yeah, I mean, it was a ton of people like that.
Really?
Everybody that I was sitting around. Everybody that I was sitting around were Trump fans. And they said, you kind of bold, you know. I said, I don't care. What are they going to do to me, you know? And so she goes, you're a loser, you thug.
No.
I said, yeah. I said, do you mean the N-word? I said it just like that with the A. Not the hard R, the A.
Yeah.
I said, you mean, mm-hmm? Yeah.
You said that.
She goes, see, you gotta push back on them.
312-642-5600 turnkey.pro answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. I do believe our text line is up and running.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I came in early for you.
I see it.
No, I
see
didn't come in early for you. I had to come in. Let's go to Craig in Mount Greenwood first. Good morning, Craig.
Hey, good morning, Amy. And, always good morning to John.
Good morning.
Your best partner there when he gets on there with you. You guys are making a great team.
Thank you.
Boy, that crazy experience. It just goes to show and prove just how messed up things are with when you're a law-abiding citizen, you're a past police officer and everything like that. Can't do anything. Got to be afraid to move, whatever move you make, uncertain. Anything. That's exactly the way the left wants it. My daughter was in that situation. She's a John, you know my daughter is the hygienist.
Yeah.
Well, I got another daughter that's a police officer. Anyway, she basically got spit out of everything. That was they charged this guy with, they were trying to arrest him or something. They charged him with assault or something like that, I think. But the thing is, if you're not a police officer or something like that, people spitting on you, doing things to you, and you really feel like afraid to do anything back or anything, which should not be the case, but it's because of the way the leftists have everything so messed up with regard to, the justice is for the criminal, not for the for the innocent or the victim. It's I don't know what we're going to do with the way things are going here with, in that regard.
Yeah.
Did you basically hear anything? Whatever even happened to that guy? They probably turned around, and that guy is probably on the street somewhere now. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah. They sent him to St. Mary's.
I was just going
to
ask him about
that.
They
sent him to St. Mary's. And so I had two other guys run up to me and say, "Hey, what happened? This guy was in my yard, in the back of my yard. Oh. We didn't know. We thought he was trying to break in." He said, "This one guy came up to me. He says, I almost knocked him out too." And the other guy says, "I was going to knock him out." So he's a problem.
And did from your estimate, did police recognize him? Like,
He
look like soon a repeat offender?
As soon as the sergeant came up, he said, "Yeah, he's a mental." The sergeant, and listen, the cops' hands are tied. They can't. Right. They're only enforcing what they're told to enforce.
Oh wait, why are their hands tied if he physically?
Because
destroyed your
the
property?
The policy is if he's a mental. So you know, I mean, their hands are tied. You know, this is why I said in my video, this is why I don't go to Chicago. Because I don't want to hurt or kill somebody. And the way Chicago is set up and designed, somebody's going to get seriously hurt. These homeless people,
they're everywhere.
They're going to get seriously hurt.
Everywhere.
I know. I saw them. They were
because
everywhere.
Now they're competing with the illegals.
Yes.
And I saw this one woman take my guy. He's a black dude. I love him. He carries a walker. He's at Irving Park in the Kennedy when you get off at the ramp there. And she threw his stuff.
See?
I showed Justin the video. Like, look at this.
See?
They're fighting with each other
for
territory.
They are.
But also the people, I have a little marketing advice.
Yeah.
My the people it's Fullerton and Damon. It's right near Midtown Athletic.
Oh yeah, I know
all that whole area. They're Venezuelans. And I want to tell them, like, don't people don't like Venezuelans right now. Put anything but Venezuelans.
Yeah.
Little marketing
tip.
And another marketing tip: hold your sign the right way up. This one dude was walking around with his baby on his shoulders, you know, putting her life at risk, and he had his sign upside down. Like, dude, I can't understand what you're saying. I don't read backwards and upside down. Verlon, and where is he?
Michigan.
Hi, Verlon. How are you?
What's going on, Amy?
Hi.
John,
what's up,
I
brother?
Talked about this with you a few days ago. He would have at least got the Will Smith slap. He would have got Chris Rock. Do you see what I did there? He would have got Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Listen, John, if you'd have did that, you couldn't have been remanded. They don't remand people for stuff like that. And guess what? He's homeless. You think he would have showed up at court? It would have been thrown out. It would have been thrown out. John, you are a better man than me. I will always say that. You are a better man than me. He would have got his butt whooped, I swear to God.
Yeah, the restraint was hard, Verlon. Just don't listen. It wasn't easy. Trust me when I tell you that.
Yeah, because you would probably be the one thrown in jail, not him.
Yeah, I mean, I could have defended myself. You have a right to defend yourself. But, I mean, still, Illinois is still not a stand your ground state.
No, they care more about the victim than you.
Yeah.
Connect with Dan and Amy on the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today, 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Signature Bank.
Only the biggest stories. Only the biggest guests. And only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
All right. What Mike Scott failed to mention was after the South Carolina, North Carolina State game, UConn plays Iowa.
Oh.
Okay? Okay. He's so biased to Iowa. He will not talk about Iowa. He didn't bring, he would not report the Big Ten championship game, which went into double overtime. Yeah. We beat Ohio State. And people are texting in the show like, hey, why isn't he bringing it? Why isn't he reporting the score? So he said only 15,000 people watched in person, but it was the biggest, largest audience.
Most viewed.
For Big Ten Network ever.
Most viewed.
Most viewed game for the Big Ten Network.
Amy, I'm sorry. I-L-L-I-N-I.
Well, when you get there, you let me know, and I'll make sure that Mike Scott reports the score.
Ouch. We were almost there. Final Four.
Yeah.
No, we got destroyed.
I watched that game, and I was just went, oh, God, I felt so bad for you guys.
Yeah. Wait, let me close
you
out.
You got manhandled.
Let me close out what happened to me. There's two things I just want to quickly say. First of all, if I'd have hit him, I knocked him out, he falls, his head dies. That would have been on me, my conscience. And then what if I hit him and he bled out and blood got in my mouth, I was thinking about those things. That's my training kicked in.
Right.
And Dennis Reveletti, I wasn't hunting him down. He sent me a text.
Somebody texted.
You can't hunt somebody and then claim raise self-defense.
Well, it sounded.
I didn't want him to get away. He just committed a crime. Okay. He had just committed a crime. I didn't want him to get away. And, you know, again, my police instincts kicked in.
Okay.
You know, so.
All right. Remember, because you've got girls, they play sports, right? You have a daughter. Oh, she's into volleyball, right?
Well, yeah.
Yes.
A volleyball and cheer.
Okay.
And she wants to play softball this year.
Good.
Yeah. So.
Mike's daughter plays softball. I think she does, or she used to.
Yeah. Oh,
travel
good.
Softball. That's a big thing.
Yeah, it's money.
So how would you ever feel if, say, a 6-foot man with a beard was on the court with your daughter?
That she wouldn't play.
You'd yank her?
And wouldn't play.
Well, this happened in Lynn, Massachusetts at Kip. What's the name of that school? See, I get all ready and then I lose my train of thought. It was Kip. Oh my gosh, where is it? I lost it. But it's
Massachusetts?
Yes, it's in Massachusetts, Kip in Lynn, Massachusetts. Yeah. And he was at a basketball game pretending to be a girl. And he injured 3 young female athletes before halftime.
Yeah.
So the coach had he was clearing his bench.
Right.
He had no bench left and they had a playoff game the next week. So he yanked his kids and said, that's it. Well, we're also finding out that he also plays on the women's volleyball team.
Mm.
Full beard. He is on track and field, hurdles, shot put, taekwondo. He's also on the female rowing team.
Oh.
But he's a little bit of a pervert.
I saw that.
Yeah, the Daily Mail reported that he's been suspended from the rowing team, folks, for allegedly staring at a girl's exposed breasts in the changing room.
Why is he even in there?
That 312-642-5600 turnkey.pro answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. So the male athlete was caught staring openly at one of the female athletes while she was changing her clothes in the women's locker room, and he remarked, ooh, boobies. But he didn't say the B word. He
really?
Said the T word. Uh-huh. So when another female athlete nearby asked if it was the first time he had ever seen female breasts, he responded, yeah, with a laugh. The male athlete was suspended for this incident.
You think he's going to come back?
Well, following the incident, the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, oh, I love that group, they intervened.
That exists?
Exists, especially in Massachusetts. Resulting in the trans athlete no longer participating in either the male or female rowing teams.
Oh, just the rowing team.
Yeah, but he's still Commonwealth Atlantic Conference All-Star in volleyball.
We can maul in volleyball. And
yeah, after he dominated with more kills than anybody on the court.
Of course.
You know what kills are? Unreturnable shots.
Hey, my daughter plays volleyball.
All right, well, I don't know if they're doing kills at that age.
Yeah. No, they're really not.
At that age, it's like bump. Bump.
Some of those players, though, no.
Oh, some are good.
Some of those players are really good.
I always want 3 hits.
Yeah.
Even if it's a bump or bump set bump or whatever. But yeah, that's good. Yeah.
We had a few girls actually do that against our team. They were big girls, too. At least 6 foot.
Oh,
and they're like 12. 10, I should say. Like 6 foot.
It happened.
6 foot tall.
All right. So if you had a guy in the
I'm not. She's not playing.
Just yank him.
Nope. Not risking that injury to my daughter, because I probably run on the field and just push him off. If I saw that, I'm at a basketball game. Well, I don't have to worry about that because I send my kids to Christian private school. So that's a, you know, we don't.
Yeah,
have
but you
to.
Might sometime play a school that they have a trans athlete on the team.
No, I doubt that. I doubt that very seriously.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line. Let's go to Marty in Naperville. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Good morning. I'll try to say this as least graphic as possible. Put one of these high school boys in a girl's locker room, have them change, and if a certain thing happens to this boy, which it will, he ought to be tossed out of that locker room. Yeah. It's just unbelievable. I'd pull my granddaughter. She plays basketball, but it would never happen. She goes to a Christian school. But if that were to happen with another team, not saying it wouldn't, but I would ask my daughter and her husband. I'd say, just pull her out. It's just that way. And what kind of parents? I couldn't even imagine. I'm 66. When I was in school, if I said to my parents, "I'm going to play in a girls' team,"
I know, but what is wrong with? Yeah, thank you so much, Marty, for calling. The people who are letting their trans kid, they know it's not fair.
Right?
Like, I had no idea that this bearded 6 foot dude, who is throwing women around on the court, injuring them. I didn't know that he also played volleyball and was on rowing and does hurdles and shop. So I just listed 5 positions that he has taken away from women.
Yeah.
Because every spot he's in, somebody else is sitting down.
Where are the feminists at, Amy?
I don't know.
Have they said
so
anything?
Hard for Title IX.
Right. Have they said anything?
No,
about
if anything, they're supporting this.
I don't think all of them are, right? Mm. I don't think all of them, because they fought so hard to get Title IX.
Well, I just think of Riley Gaines and what she said. She's like, my dad knew that he was in the locker room and he wanted to come in.
Yeah.
But I stopped him.
See?
Because
good
she
dad.
Knew what he would do to Will, not Leah. Yeah.
That would have been my daughter. If my daughter would have said, "Dad, please don't come in this locker room."
I know. But it doesn't stop there. I mean, who's vetting people these days? I don't know if you saw this viral video of these two dudes in beards who, what are they? Are they gay? Well, they're gay. They're a gay couple. And he impregnated his sister to carry their twins.
My sister Brianna is carrying both our twins.
Honestly, I've been raising a child for, 13 years
Well, if
now.
This is what you did, then I'm scared because I'm a brat.
Hello, Brianna.
Brianna being the carrier was the most important thing to us. I knew that I could trust her. Some people thought, this is sick, you guys are freaks, white trash from Arkansas. What you're doing is wrong to the core.
And they're all adults making these comments. Shocking.
Well, you're an adult.
So I get it, though.
Behaving that way, which is shocking.
I get it, though.
It's
sick. Took my
That's
mind.
Incest.
I mean. So his partner, it's his sperm. It's his partner's sister that's carrying it from his sperm, not from the brother. That's what, I mean, it's convoluted. Listen.
It's depravity at its finest. That right there. I mean.
Amy.
Hi, Mom. I mean, Aunt. Yeah. I mean, sick.
At least I hope that's what they're saying.
But who's vetting these people?
Nobody.
These same-sex couples that are having kids that are dressed like women with beards.
Nobody?
Well, I mean, did you see this Chicago veterinarian?
No.
From Elburn? He's not from Chicago. Elburn and Chicago are very far away. But Chicago. And this made
Elburn is
national, national headlines. Adam King, veterinarian, was caught with child pornography. This story is disgusting. So he, the FBI had been on to him, and so they've been investigating him, and they've been sending messages, and he'd been sending graphic photographs of men molesting young preteen boys. Their surrogate had the baby. He and his partner had a surrogate, and their baby was born last week.
Oh, my.
Thank God he's not going to have access to that child. He was pimping the child out online.
No, Amy.
Yes, he was. According to the FBI, he said, "I'm looking forward to my little boy's coming. I can't wait to be with him, molest him," and then was taking appointments, making appointments for other people to have access to his newborn son. Who is vetting these people? It gets worse. He also used the drugs from his veterinarian clinic to render unconscious his nieces and nephews to molest them.
So somebody tipped him off to the FBI.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, there was some back channel where he was communicating with a guy from New York, exchanging stuff, and was talking about, hey, my son's going to be born April 1st via surrogate. I can't wait to molest him. And if you want in on the action, let me know or something.
See,
like that.
See, Amy, this is
that's the devil.
This is why the
And we're letting these people have, like, who's vetting these people?
Right. See, that's death penalty level, in my opinion. I'm sorry. That's what you're doing, ruining these kids' lives for the rest of their lives. Bring back the death penalty for stuff like this.
During the search of his home, the FBI also found images of child pornography, the ultrasound picture of his baby boy that he shared, and the baby outfit he had shown off to other perverts.
Is he sick?
He's well known in the dog showing community. He's also a judge.
I'm wondering if he had
best in show. Yeah, this is the best in show.
Bestiality, yeah. Probably too.
I don't know. People said it's so shocking because he's so well known in the Midwest and in the, you know, in the kennel club, American Kennel Club circuit.
You just never know what people are doing and thinking. You just never know.
I just pray for that baby. That baby better be nowhere near him, nowhere near his partner.
I don't see how that happens.
Because I can't. If he's doing this, his partner, his husband, yeah, is not part of this. Come on.
Yeah. Did they mention
the
partner? If the partner was,
he hasn't been arrested.
Well, they'll find out.
It's just sick. It makes me want to vomit. I don't even know why I brought that story. Mad at myself.
Yeah.
All right. Next. Joe in Naperville, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yeah. When are some of these women going to wake up? And as soon as they see a guy in the locker room, mace the guy, call the police, and have the guy arrested. If they don't arrest him, have a civil suit against the police and the school, everybody involved for obstruction of justice and Title IX obstruction, women's sports. This got to stop. You got to hit force. Remember, those that are the aggressors set the rules. These yep. women got to be so freaking aggressive with this stuff, it's going to make their heads spin.
Yeah. Just as aggressive as they are with abortion.
Yeah.
Be that aggressive when it comes to this. This is your child.
Yeah. And you get one shot at this. Trust me. And it goes by fast. Jim in Crown Point, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Before I say what I have to say, did everybody get their flu vaccine for the eclipse?
Oh, God.
You mean a total eclipse of the heart? Just kidding.
I got two shots and a booster, so I'm good. I'm not afraid. I'll look at it.
Okay, good. But wear your glasses, okay?
It needs to be.
Actually, we're going to have somebody on at 7:35 to talk about the solar eclipse.
Yeah.
And the traffic eclipse.
I have a mask and glasses, just so you know.
Okay.
But, you know, I hate to say it, but like John was talking about this guy, you should have hit him as hard as you humanly possible and walked away because he was doing that to you.
Yeah.
Here's what I would do. If you have a man in high school sports, any sport, the team without the man should just stand there. No matter what the sport, yep. if it's football, you just stand there. Volleyball, you don't return the ball.
Yep.
Eventually, they're going to have to address it. You have to take drastic steps. You can't just, and when me and my wife go somewhere and it's a public washroom and it says both sexes, I go in, make sure nobody's in there.
Yep.
And then I have my wife go in and I stand outside that door and ain't nobody going in there.
I do that for my daughters.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
If I go check
in there
the bathroom first.
Different genders, I just walk out.
Yeah, I check the bathroom first.
Thanks,
and like some small restaurants, they can't have, you know, multiple bathrooms.
Right.
You know, they got one restroom, you know. I'll go in there and I'll stand right by the door.
Okay.
You are not coming into that restroom. We've been in Starbucks before. Nope, you're not going into this restroom. You're not. You're simply not.
It's just
I will go to jail.
It's not comfortable.
I'm willing to go to jail
for comfortable.
That. Not comfortable. I'm willing to go to jail for that, Amy.
Okay.
That's something I'm willing to go to jail for.
Rich in Indian Head Park. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Good morning, John. How are you today?
Hey, buddy.
You know, what I wanted to say is, first of all, John, it took a lot of restraint for you not to hit this guy.
Because
if that was me, I would have given this guy a shatty nose with that.
That's what I was afraid of, though. He leaked, though. I'm literally, that went through my head as I'm thinking about hitting this guy.
But anyway, Amy, I want to ask you, how many girls do you have on your team that have beards?
I don't have any.
I mean, isn't this ridiculous? You got a guy who says he's a girl. He's got a beard, and he's going in the locker room, and nobody says anything about this.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. If that was my daughter, I'd be at that school. I'd drag this guy out of that locker room faster than you could say good morning.
But, I know, it's so weird. Like they let it. I mean,
something about it
at that age. Thank you so much, Rich. You know, girls are so vulnerable, and then for him to be staring there and going, "Ooh,
yeah,
like a child, ooh, boobies."
I'll tell you, like one of my Italian friends told me, if an Italian comes to you and they're in the pickup truck, don't get in the car. Don't get in the pickup. If they're in the car, you can go with them. Just don't get in the pickup.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Your show keeps me alive during the week. There's nobody I'd rather listen to between 5 and 9 in the morning than you guys.
On AM 560, The Answer.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today, 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, Signature Bank.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony, and for Dan Proft.
Hey, hey, hey.
Rocking and rolling this morning.
Yeah, the hour went by fast.
It sure did.
Wow.
All right, we're leaving. Bye.
Bye. Let's go.
Just play a best of. Did you hear the good news?
No. What good news?
That Trump leads Biden in 6 of the 7 swing states.
Oh,
And you know what that means? People are getting nervous. No. Biden's right-hand man sounding the alarm last night.
Prices are still high. Price of gasoline is still high. Other prices are still high, and people feel that pinch. And their wages have gone up, and the statistics say wages have gone up faster than prices. People still feel pinched in their pocketbooks. And so I think, the president needs to make more progress on that. He's going to continue to fight to bring down prices on key things that matter to families.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. You could also reach us on that text line, 646-36. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Because every day, Biden's border bloodbath increases. We bring you to a suburb of Cincinnati. Fernan Garcia Gutierrez was arrested and charged for murdering a man in Ohio. We don't know the victim's name yet because they're still investigating. But here's the sheriff there talking about the countless times he's been arrested, the countless aliases that he has used. He should have been deported years ago.
He's actually been in our jail under 7 different names in the last 20 years. He's committed over 20 different crimes over time.
He also says this isn't Gutierrez's first violent offense.
He has gun charges. He has domestic violence, which is a violent crime, domestic issues where he hurts people. This is his third time with a firearm. The city of Hamilton police arrested him. He keeps coming back to this area.
Sheriff Jones says the suspect has been deported 8 times and feels this case highlights a national concern over border security.
This guy that he is charged with killing, murdering, would be alive today if he'd have been deported and took care of in the first place.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment.
You see a common theme with all of these people? They've all been in and out of prisons. You know, Illinois has this thing called live scan, where you have your digital prints. I wonder if they have something like that, and that's how they found out he'd been in there seven different times.
Okay, there's, and then they showed mug shots of him. Seven different mug shots.
Wow.
With seven different, and these people, they're laughing at us.
Wow. Yeah,
they're
they are.
Because a lot of people get paid today. A lot of people get paid a week from today. Mm-hmm. Look at your paycheck.
Yeah.
Like, go in. I know nobody actually gets a paycheck anymore.
Right.
And see all the taxes that are taken out.
Yeah.
And then just think, God, my hard-earned money, that money is feeding these mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. who they don't respect America. Yeah. They don't respect our laws.
Yeah. I agree.
They don't respect you. They don't respect me.
No.
And yes, not all of them are violent, but I don't care.
Yeah.
They broke the law by getting in here. And I used to never feel that way.
Really?
When I first started working here 27,000 years ago, I would be like, no, but I give them, 14. You know, because I, you know, because I lived in border towns and I'd see them like those were people suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd come over with someone would come over without even shoes on.
Right.
You know, or they just wanted to get to America.
Right.
Now you see them lugging Gucci bags, a neck pillow, a Beats on. Like that person
iPhone.
Is not suffering.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody has iPhones.
Yeah.
That person.
Oh, they give them out free.
Is not suffering.
Yeah. No.
With the nice, you know, the Louis Vuitton bag. When I saw the Louis Vuitton bag and the neck pillow, I just lost it. Like what asylum seeking from what? Because it looks like you're doing pretty well right now.
Well, you played a video or audio a couple of times. Two, three times I was here ago.
Because you're my Friday friend.
Right. And remember they were talking about why they're coming. To job. They want jobs. They weren't coming here for asylum. You know, they weren't seeking asylum. And others
even flat out said, though, that they don't want to work at all.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They come in because of the handouts.
Right.
And Amy, why haven't people put two and two together to realize that what's happening here, it's breaking municipalities, it's breaking counties, budgets wide open. And but yet we keep electing the same people, except in Cook County, you know, they couldn't find enough votes to push Clayton
they couldn't
over.
They tried
10,000. Oh, wait a minute. We found 10,000 votes. Come on, Amy.
And speaking real quick of mail-in voting.
Yeah.
So France banned mail-in voting in 1975 due to fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico banned mail-in voting in 1992. Mm-hmm. Belgium banned mail-in voting in 2018 due to fraud.
Hmm.
Sweden doesn't permit mail-in voting. Of course we wouldn't. Italy does not permit mail-in voting.
Hmm.
Ukraine does not permit mail-in voting.
Why.
Russia does not permit mail-in voting. Japan does not permit mail-in voting. No Middle Eastern country permits mail-in voting. No Latin country permits mail-in voting.
I wonder why. Well, Russia doesn't let anybody vote.
Well, yeah.
Come on.
I should have taken them off the list. Right?
They don't let anybody vote. And a couple other countries that you mentioned. But I wonder why. You know, because especially when you're changing over the presidency. We should do everything in our power to make sure that that's done right. And I made a post about it, and I said election season needs to end. The only people that should be able to mail in vote are people in the military, and we should be able to count those votes first. The mail in ballot should be counted first,
and just process like count it, and then boom, they hit when the polls close on election night at 7 o'clock.
That's it.
Boom.
Those are here's the numbers.
Put that up. Here's the numbers.
You know. Every
there's no
state,
transparency. There's
every state should do that.
No chain of custody. Like, that we don't know anything.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But they know how to cheat.
Oh, yeah. They're
can you say that word?
Election. Well, I'm worried. I mean, he's ahead again in six of the seven swing states. Pennsylvania, 47-44. Michigan, 48-45. Arizona, 47-42. That's a little more comfortable. Georgia, 44-43.
Yeah,
that makes me a little. Nevada 48-44, North Carolina 49-43, but Wisconsin's they're both tied at 46.
Yeah.
And these aren't right wing pollsters that are doing it.
No,
but the Bidens now want new pollsters.
Yeah.
The Biden administration,
of course, they
want a new set of eyes on it because Jill she flipped out when CBS presented this data to her.
But when these polls, like the Wall Street Journal one, land in the White House and he's losing in all the battleground states.
No, he's not losing in all the battleground states.
No.
He's coming up and he's even or doing better. So, you know what? Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, it's obvious that Joe will win this election.
Oh, my God. I mean, does she sound desperate or what?
Yeah.
She's hanging on for dear life because if they lose the election... maybe the DOJ might be sniffing around the Biden house
they
can go.
A Trump-led DOJ?
Yeah.
Oh, you better believe
it. Well, last time he laid off Hillary.
He won't do it this time. No.
Are you sure?
I hope he does it. Because you know, the Democrats, they always overstep. They always do this. And what they're doing to the Trump presidency, the Trump campaign, Trump campaign, Amy, this happens in third world countries. This happens in third world countries. That, but you know, and that's one of the reasons why I'm so glad that the RNC hired Scott Pressler. You know, he's going to be handling all of the ballot harvesting where it's legal. He's putting together a huge team to make this happen, and I'm so glad for it. You know, what they're doing. They're stealing elections. They're rigging these elections, and we gotta fight the same way they fight. You know, we didn't do it. Did you hear about what happened in Nebraska?
Yes.
With the
electoral vote from Omaha.
This is my problem with Republicans.
Because they get five. The state of Nebraska get five, and one is always
right. But this is my problem with Republicans. Why didn't you do it? You have a super majority, basically. A majority when the Democrats switch. You have the House and the Senate and the governorship. Do it. This is the problem with these weak-kneed Republicans. Show us, the people, that you're willing to fight. But the Democrats know they won't do it. And this is why we continue to lose and lose and lose, because we got these weak-kneed Republicans. Let's just get along or go along. No, they're trying to destroy the United States of America, do everything humanly possible and legal to make sure that doesn't happen. But it won't happen because Republicans just don't have the backbone.
Well, one Republican that has a backbone and is standing up for our rights is Governor Abbott, and he was on Fox News yesterday. You know, he's doing the job that the president should be doing.
The Biden administration is doing nothing to stop terrorists from coming across the border. They are knowingly allowing them in. And there's two categories here. They're the terrorists who are actually apprehended. The terrorists apprehended are an all-time record. Many multiples of those who came across the border under the Trump administration. But second, you talked about the gotaways. Well, the terrorist will pay extra not to be caught. What that means is the number that we've caught, which is extraordinary, there's far more than that who've gotten across the border. Remember this also. Last month, the FBI director talked about a potential 9/11 type terrorist attack because of the terrorists who are coming across our border. The chief job of the president of the United States is national security. Yeah. President Biden is failing at national security. We are extraordinarily concerned about a terrorist attack occurring in Texas or elsewhere in the United States because of the terrorists who are crossing our border at will.
And he went on to say, too, real quick, that these people that are getting murdered are getting murdered by government policy.
Yeah.
That's who's doing this.
What we have suffered in the United States by Joe Biden's illegal immigration policies, by the lack of safety, by the number of Americans who are being killed by the migrants allowed in across the border illegally by the Biden administration. This is what you call murder by government policy. And Americans are sick and tired of it. Americans are going to vote for safety in this election. If you're not safe in your home, in your business, in your community, you can't do anything else. Americans are going to come out in droves and vote for safety and common sense in this election.
We need to exercise common sense.
Yeah, well,
because a vote for Biden, and I tell people flat out, a vote for Biden is a vote to continue to have illegals come in.
Yeah.
Not by the thousands, by the millions.
Yeah, which they have, 10 million, right?
Well,
that's what we know.
Right, but just the month, it's almost at a million since 2024. Mm. It's at 894,000.
Wow.
Just since 2024, since we rang in the new year.
That's a lot. That's a lot of people.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
We were just talking about huggers, because there's some people who hug all the time. And I used to be a hugger. I don't know what happened. I'm not that huggy anymore. Probably because you can't hug any kids, if they do well in a sport, you can't touch them. No. And then when they try to hug you, you're like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, we can't do that.
Oh.
So it's weird. But are you a hugger?
Yeah. I used to be. Not after what happened to me at, you know what. No. Only friends and family.
What are you talking? Are we talking?
Yeah,
in code?
We're, yeah. Mm-mm.
Oh no, I don't like talking in code.
No, I'm very cautious.
So basically, we're going to talk about this when we're off the air.
Yeah, I'm very cautious. I am very.
And
cautious.
We brought that up because Lori Lightfoot, who I miss her.
Yeah.
I actually miss her.
Yeah. You do?
I do. I really do. In many ways, she just seemed more an adult.
Yeah.
She had a little bit of fight in her to stand up, a little teeny bit to stand up to the teachers union.
Yeah.
But we've gone through it. We've gone through the ups and downs with her. But we're talking about hugging because her wife, Amy, gave me a hug once. And I was like, oh.
Why am I being hugged?
I'm like, that's nice. No, she's nice. She's harmless. All right. So lots happening. And we wanted to bring back our good friend, Alderman Lopez, from the 15th Ward, because I was so excited when I had heard that they're finally moving migrants out of all of our park districts. And first, I just, before we get to other pressing matters, want to see where we stand on that.
So good morning, Amy and John.
Hey, good morning.
How are you? Yes, the migrants are leaving the park district. I think two parks have been cleared. There's maybe three more to go. But I believe the anticipation is by April 13th, all park shelters will be closed, vacated, and being cleaned so that they could be ready for summer programming.
Oh, that is such sweet news. But here's the thing. Where are all these people going? Because weren't there, at one point in time, 300-plus at Gage Park?
Yes, we had almost 500 people at Gage Park.
Wow.
But they have been working to decrease those population. So, for example, in Gage Park, when the announcement was made, we were down to, I believe, 270 individuals. But that is a great question that nobody seems to want to answer. Where are they going? And that's one of the concerns that the community has as we celebrated this victory. It's like, well, we don't want them out of the shelter and then putting up tents in the middle of our baseball field because this is the only location they know. But we haven't been able to get an answer clearly to articulate what the plan really is, which should come as no surprise to anybody.
Well, why is there so much secrecy surrounding this? I don't get it. I mean, when you get asked, like, don't they've asked, where are you going? You know, as a reporter, just I can teach them Spanish real quick, just the basics, and just ask the people. Because I saw a video of this family with a lot of stuff. I mean, I think more stuff than I have. pack up this pickup truck.
Yeah.
And somebody just came and they went away, and where were they going and who's keeping tabs on them and you know, are they going to be here for their asylum hearing? All of that stuff.
I don't think the city's too concerned about their asylum hearings. I think they're just trying to deal with one crisis at a time, and they're doing it very poorly. I think their goal is just to get them out of the parks, to shut people like me and you and our constituents up because they're tired of hearing us complain. But I think what they're going to do is just rotate them throughout the remaining shelter systems in the hopes that at some point that they'll be able to find some sort of apartment or rental option for them. I don't think there's a long-term goal in place because the truth is we know that there's a very real possibility of not only the governor of Texas sending more as the warmer weather kicks in, but also the governors of New York and Colorado who are now – telling people, oh, go to Chicago. They have plenty of money and programs for you. So now our Democratic counterparts are sending their people openly here to our city. So we'll see once more buses start arriving and more people start arriving how long this will last.
Oh, I bet. I can bet right now. And I'll make a $100 bet because I love to bet money I don't have. that there are going to be tents in front of police stations come June. Because if they stay in the tent, let's just say, whether it be in front of a police station or somewhere else, they can pocket the money that we're giving them for housing and then use that money to send home to bring up more family members.
I mean, they could do that now in the shelters, and we know they have been doing that, which is why they're always panhandling despite all the programs that are assisting them, because they're cashing out and going to those currency exchanges and money changers to ship the money back to help pay for the next one to come to continue the cycle.
Oh, my God. We got to shut this down.
So they're just kicking a can down the road, basically, is what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Oh. With both feet, which is pretty impressive.
Oh, my God. What's the total? Do we even know the total number? Is it
35,000?
Yes, that have entered here illegally.
I think it's closer to, I think it's closer to 37,000 that we know of. Now, we've had asylum seekers who've managed to get here up on their own. Right. Because I know that I've had people walk into my office trying to get help, and they're like, oh, we never went to the landing zone, or oh, we didn't come on a bus, we got here ourselves. So I'm sure that number is not fairly accurate for how many of them are truly in the city of Chicago.
Well, so when someone enters your, I'm sorry for interrupting, when somebody enters your office or your ward office and says, you know, I came here, where do you send them? Do you send them to the landing zone?
We will direct them to the landing zone because that's the only way that we can start the process to track their case, so to speak. The city has the resources to try and manage some of that and have contracted with people to manage some of that. I'm not going to try to pretend I'm someone's case manager. I'm not going to be responsible personally in my office for trying to connect and take care of them when the city of Chicago has a procedure, flawed as it is for that.
Yeah.
There's a right way and a wrong way to do things. And if you kept on walking past Eagle Ridge and came up to Chicago, then you need to report to the landing zone and not just pick a neighborhood and start from there.
Yeah. Alderman, I was just in Chicago. I don't know if you heard the first hour, but I got spat on by
a
homeless guy.
You were up at 4 o'clock,
yeah,
right?
I'm sure he
or 5 o'clock this morning?
I'm sure he gets up early.
You know what? I was doing my calisthenics at that time.
They, see, there you go. Out walking the dogs.
Yeah. But I got spit on by a homeless guy right off Damon and right off the Kennedy. And is there a policy where the police don't arrest mental health patients? They send them to like a St. Mary or wherever they're located to the mental health facility? Was there a law passed or something?
I believe that there was a change several years ago that did not criminalize mental health. Decriminalizing mental health. But in the meantime, that means everyone with mental issues, not on any kind of medical treatment, is allowed to roam free on the streets of the city of Chicago.
And I say that because... I don't mean to interrupt you. I say that because I saw a report from ABC7 talking about all these people that were getting knocked out over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. What's happening in the subway system in New York is now happening on the streets of Chicago. They'll walk up to you. They'll just level you, punch you in the face, and walk away.
Yeah. And they're mental. They get a free walk to the mental health facility. I don't think that's right.
I don't think they get a free walk. Because right now, we just had a situation in my neighboring ward where we have a woman in her mid-40s with mental health issues going between a senior home and a condo harassing people. Everyone knows that she has mental health issues and she will not be arrested because if they arrest her, they can't charge her with anything that they can detain her with anymore thanks to the Safety Act because trespassing is no longer a detainable offense.
Oh, that's right.
So you have that law coupled with the fact that even if they were to arrest her, they can't and hold her. There's no judge that's going to compel any kind of treatment that is going to be enforceable at this point because most of these mental health clinics and hospitals will not accept anybody unless there's an order. And even then, it'll be minimal stay to get them on meds for a week. And then they're back out the door, not taking their medical regimen, and then back to their particular insanities. So it's a horrendous situation that we have with individuals who are in this state of mind.
God, we have a woman in Winnemac Park that is like that. I mean, she's out of her mind, Alderman, and she just goes up to people and starts screaming, and all these like do-good liberals are trying to talk to her. I'm like, you can't reason with crazy.
Yeah.
Just walk away from her, because then she'll start, if no one's there, then she'll start yelling at a tree or... I mean, she's out of her mind. But.
Yeah, but what happens if she hurts or harms? I mean, there's just listen. I mean, you know my cop background. I just see that as. I mean, what happens if something serious happens? And it's like Chicago citizens are just damned if you do, damned if you don't, right?
100%. And I could say that I was actually a victim of that myself a few years ago because we had somebody when I had a ward office in West Englewood had a mental health issue. Was triggered by my name because it reminded him of something, kept vandalizing my office, breaking my doors and things of that nature. Nothing to do with me, nothing to do with anything about me or anything I do, but the name triggered one of his demons, and the police even said, we can come, we can arrest him. He'll sit in jail till you fill out the paperwork, we'll let him go. because we have nobody, no judge to compel him to treatment, we can't do anything with him. Finally, a judge sentenced him to a local hospital to get regular on medication. He was good for a week, released, went home, threw out the meds, bought some alcohol, started self-medicating, and then boom, we're right back to where we started.
Oh, my God. All right, I wanted to move on to some news that Mayor Johnson made again this week about the LaSalle Street getting 1,000 apartments under a plan to repurpose office buildings. Our good friend Jeff Carter at his Substack, jeffcarter.substack.com, his title of his article was "The Dumbest Idea in Chicago History." And then the byline, "In a city that has had a lot of dumb ideas." So what say you on this proposal?
You know, I'm all for trying to do something with some of the buildings that are downtown. Look, we know we're not going to get the population back, the workforce population back anytime soon, and in some cases at all. Right now, many of these buildings are at 60% vacancy, have a 60% vacancy rate. That's not sustainable for them, and we're going to see more buildings turn in their keys if they don't find a different solution. But I think what we have to do is decide what kind of downtown we're going to make as you try to transition to a mixed, you know, high-rise commercial like New York, and how you're going to pay for it. 1,000 units to a multi-million-dollar property, you know, we don't have enough money in the bank to make that happen, and you have to work with the private sector, for-profit developers to see what we can do. That's not the mayor's strong suit because he always piggybacks to all of the not-for-profit, affordable housing patronage groups that want to build at the highest price possible. So I think that if we're going to make that transition, if we're going to open up the doors to this, then we better have a real clear and honest conversation on how to do it. And we've seen time and time again, honest and clear conversations are not this administration's strong suit. Yeah. As is evidenced by the tuberculosis flying around right now.
So it sounds like it's going to become another Cabrini Green, basically, where I lived.
You lived in Cabrini Green?
At some point. Yeah. I was born there. I was born in Cabrini Green. So, yeah. But, you know, I love this guy's article and what he said at the end. The mayors daily were both corrupt, but they knew you could never lose the loop. What has happened to the once great? I mean, Chicago used to be great. Hustle, bustle. They made sure that they kept those businesses in Chicago. What is happening in Chicago, Mayor?
One word, crime. Very simple. I think that when you have a non-existent nightlife, and when you have, as much as the extreme left of my party tries to deny it, the fact that workers do not want to return downtown, in part because they like working from the couch, but also because they don't feel safe, that's an issue. And we've seen where Millennium Park now has guardrails and security checkpoints. You know, this isn't the Ukraine, the Middle East.
Right.
Chicago never looked like this.
No.
You were able to walk around free and enjoy everything. And I think that, you know, we really saw this shift after COVID and the pandemic when you started having all these teen takeovers and all of these drag racing events. And even when my own cousins would do the Mexican Independence Day parade and take up all of Michigan Avenue.
Oh, that was the worst. I'll never forget, Dan could not get back to his Lake Point Tower condo.
Yeah.
He couldn't get into the city. I mean, people who live in the city could not get in. And also, too, George Floyd riots.
Yeah, let them vent mentality.
You know, that night, mm-hmm. I'm like, we're gone.
Yeah.
We're Detroit.
And Columbus statue and things have a psychological effect on people wanting to be downtown. And when you look at the impact on businesses, you know, you used to be able to stay downtown, go to a restaurant, go to a bar, go to Kinsey Avenue, or even go to Greektown a little further west and enjoy drinks or dinner or whatever until midnight.
Right.
Now, those restaurants are closed by 9 o'clock.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, because of crime.
Yeah.
Last time I went downtown, I went to Gene and Giorgetti's. I was home by 6:30.
Yeah.
I got there early, ate, and left. But they close every restaurant. And you're right, the nightlife, I don't even know. We used to go out till 2, 3 in the morning clubbing. I don't even know where anyone, I mean, our clubs
Clark,
still.
Kennedy.
I sound like an old lady, alderman, but are there some clubs out there? Or are they all in the, you know, warehouse district?
No, I think there's still some that are down there, not like before. Uh-huh. But I think definitely we still see the reports of the criminal activity that happens, the shootings that will happen at nightclubs and
River
stuff like
North.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. I mean, and who's, that's what you need to protect. If you're going to have a go-to district and you turn this into like a high, it went from being high, I don't want to say high society, but it used to be like the place to go, the cool place to go downtown. I mean, I remember that even when I was growing up, I sound like an old person. And now it's just, you know, we've turned all of downtown into like a borderline red line district.
Wow. We got to get rid of the let them vent mentality. You know, allowing this these thousands of kids to come out, allowing them to go walk on the expressways, and you're going to walking on the expressways with them. That let them vent mentality needs to cease and desist right now. That's the only way you bring, one of the ways you bring back Chicago, in my opinion.
I think we're going to have a summer of chaos.
Yeah.
Well, as we saw with their one of their fearless leaders, one of my colleagues, you can't always exercise your right to free speech, but there will be consequences for how you do it.
Yeah, I see he took
off
his...
If you're not going to do it in a respectful way, then there should be actions for that.
I see he took off his Palestinian scarf when he was under some scrutiny the other day at City Hall.
You know, that
finally, he took it off.
Byron is a coward because he wore it 2 hours earlier at a committee meeting and then took it off when his photographer, lawyer, and family showed up to defend his chairmanship.
Oh, so he gets to keep his chairmanship, which was not a big surprise.
Yes, he gets to keep it.
Oh, God.
But, you know, praise to my 15 members who stood strong with me to say, no, we're not going to tolerate this. And hopefully that could be the start for holding this mayor and his team accountable. We have to keep trying.
Yeah.
Because as we see, we have all of this craziness going on in our city right now.
Yeah. We have.
Chicago just announced that you should be careful of measles. It on CTA buses and in schools. I can't imagine why that announcement was made. But, you know, we know that there are a lot of things that they're covering up and keeping quiet, and we just have to keep pushing back on them.
Good for you. All right, we're going to have to leave it there, Alderman. Alderman Lopez, 15th Ward, thank you so much for coming on.
Care,
we
bud.
Really appreciate you.
Amy and John, your listeners, stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank
Every
you.
Friday.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Connect with Dan and Amy on the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560 The Answer.
Big night for women's basketball. We've got University of South Carolina, the Gamecocks. I know, it's funny. You laugh. They're taking on North Carolina State. And then you had the even bigger game, UConn versus University of Iowa. That's going to be a huge game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're excited. No, you don't like girls. You can talk.
Yeah,
let's talk about this.
It just doesn't excite me. I'm not.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
It doesn't excite me. I'm not a big fan of.
Have you tried watching it? Have you watched Caitlin Clark?
It does
Kay
nothing
Martin,
for me.
Nothing?
Nothing.
What about, you don't watch
it? I watch men's basketball.
I'm telling you, you should give it, can you give it a try?
No.
For your girlfriend, just give it a shot.
Let me see.
Just for 5 minutes.
Let me think about, exactly.
Oh, it
that is exactly
not
the word I was getting ready to say. Boring. It's boring to me.
Millions of, I think 13 million Americans watch the
LSU-Iowa
game.
I
it was a rematch from last year.
I wasn't one of them. I didn't watch it last year either.
Well, then you might want to just sit this conversation out, big boy. Fine. You're not going to play along?
Yeah,
that's
well,
fine.
You know.
It did become a little political. Not a little. When LSU was not there for the singing of the national anthem. Iowa Hawkeye girls are hand in hand respecting our country. And the coach, Kim Mulkey, said, What anthem?
Honestly, I don't even know when the anthem was played. We kind of have a routine where we are on the floor, and then they come off at the 12-minute mark.
That's when the anthem.
We just, I don't know, and we come in and we do our pregame stuff. I'm sorry. I that's nothing intentionally done.
All right, with more on this, let's welcome back to the program Scott McKay. Mr. McKay, LSU grad, correct?
Correct.
And I'm going to read your exact title. You are a publisher of The Hayride, contributing editor at The American Spectator, and author of Racism, Revenge, and Ruin. Mr. McKay, I want you to know that I'm an Iowa Hawkeye.
I know.
Okay.
Quinn told me.
All right. Just to let you know.
So Melissa McKenzie, who's the publisher of the American Spectator, and I do a podcast every week called The Spectacle.
Okay.
And the producer of The Spectacle is Kate Cruz, who is an Iowa grad. So I'm a veteran of, like, what's about to happen. Kate, the Iowa grad, already gave me the initiation about, oh, I know you feel so bad about your team losing. I'm like, kind of with John. Like, it's women's basketball. Now, LSU's really good, and, you know, the program's like, I'll follow it a little. But I'm with John. I like, you know, when the game can be played above the rim, I like watching a game above the rim.
Yes.
Like,
but that's, you know, my game is about fundamentals. Layups in the lane are so exciting.
Well, yeah, when they're made. I noticed the girls miss a lot of layups.
Like
a lot of layups.
I know.
And it drives me absolutely insane to watch layups from well below the rim get missed.
And what about those uncontested shots that don't get in? You're like, nobody's on you. You should be making that shot. But
Well, there's way, like, you can do this because, you know, they're both in the Final Four now. Watch the level of defense between the men's game and the women's game.
Yep.
Because, like, and this came up big last year, you know, like, LSU and Iowa play the national championship in the women's game. And for a women's game, it was a super, super, super well-played game, okay? I mean, it was Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, and I mean, it was, you know, it was really something. Then you watch the national championship game between UConn and San Diego State, and the defense for both of those teams was so just strangling defense. I mean, it was like one of the most impressive things you'll ever see. And it's like, oh, this is a sloppy game. It's like, no, this is defense. This is the way defense is supposed to be played in basketball. And it takes a level of athleticism to do that, you know, you're just not going to see from the women's game, which is not an insult to the women's game. It's just, you know, I mean, the players are built a little differently,
yep.
You know? And so, you know, I played high school ball for a coach who was maniacal about in-your-face defense. So you're like, I had it beaten into my head that this is how the game is supposed to be played.
Good for you.
Anyway, that's just...
Well, let's go back to the national anthem. I'm not buying Coach Mulkey's, when was the national anthem played? Because the world was watching. I mean, not the world, but millions of people were watching. Not a time to skip out on the national anthem. Do you agree at least with that?
Are you aware of the fact that neither USC nor UConn was on the floor for the national anthem in the next game on Monday night?
I did not know. I thought they just play it once and then everybody.
Look, this is the thing. Basketball, I can't speak to the NBA, but college basketball, it's a very on or off thing whether the teams are on the floor for the national anthem. It's not like football where everybody's expected to be there. And actually, LSU's football team is not that's not the common practice because they have a thing that the band plays the national anthem, then they line up and then they bring the team out to the Hold That Tiger song that the LSU football band plays. So like, it's an event management thing more than it's, you know, we don't care about the national anthem. It's just the way it's done, which is why Kim Mulkey had this kind of, you know, nonchalant deal. First of all, you're asking her a question after her team just got beat and it's season's over.
She's
trying to, I know. But I mean, like, she's being like, are you seriously going to ask me about that when my season's just ended? And the optics aren't great, but like, this is a game management thing. This was not some, oh, we don't care about the national anthem. They just like, okay, this is our deal. Now, it's weird when one team is there and another one is not. And I would say that the event management is not the best when that happens. Okay, I get it. But the whole point is the next game, neither one of them were there. So this is not like some special thing that LSU did. It's a dumb controversy, and you know, like, I'll blame Benny Johnson for being one of the people that rolled it up. Benny Johnson, who went to Iowa, goes on Twitter and immediately LSU got their butt beat because they're unpatriotic. It's like, okay, stop.
Oh, I think stop. I tweeted That's out karma.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. Oh, but the whole point is it's a logistical administrative thing. It's not a – LSU doesn't have kneelers in women's basketball. And Kim Mulkey, let me tell you, if you're a conservative, this is about as friendly as you're ever going to see from a women's basketball, college basketball coach in terms of her cultural worldview. I'm not going to, like, sit here and tell you she's a political conservative. Like, she doesn't talk about it. I think that, you know, as conservatives, we'd like her fine. But culturally, like, when she took the job at LSU, she'd been the coach at Baylor, you know, forever. And, of course, the media hates her because when Brittany Griner, who had been her star player at Baylor, and they won a national championship over there, you know, trashed the country and then went and played pro in Russia in the off season or whatever, and promptly got herself arrested for, you know, what cannabis oil or whatever it was that she had. Like, you know, Kim Mulkey was kind of lukewarm in her support for Brittany Griner. Okay.
Oh, yeah. They just,
so the media couldn't stand that about Kim Mulkey, and they've been trying to trash her ever since. But like when she first got the job at LSU, you know, it was like in the middle of COVID. And so you're supposed to wear a mask and all this kind of stuff. Well, she gets to the podium, to, you know, at the announcement and rips the mask off and says, I'm not wearing this damn thing. The whole state blew up. Oh, my God, we got the best coach ever, right? Because people were sick and tired of that stuff.
And she wears the most
like,
flamboyant.
That's a cultural
like a
signal of who she is.
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, and yeah, she wear the pink boa because I coach. And I was like, man, I don't look like that when I coach. And I was like, she's a grandma.
This is a style thing for her. She's like a real, she does the whole flamboyant. Thing.
I love it.
And look, women's basketball is there's a little bit of a WWE type flair to it because
Yeah,
you know, they got to they're positioning themselves. They're trying to grow the sport and they're trying to get attention to market the thing, which makes sense. But you know, so what you get is you get a lot of people like Angel Reese is LSU star, and she's. You know, she's a little ghetto. She talks a lot and, you know, it's like, oh, that's classless. And it's like, no, it's they're getting attention. Not to mention the fact these people don't make that much money when they go to the WNBA. No. If they want to make money, they got to, like, get attention and get some big social media following and be influencers and all, you know, I mean, in college sports, it's an NIL thing, right?
Right.
So that they're doing all of that, and this is how you monetize it.
Right. Well, Angel Reese, okay, so I saw her and Caitlin Clark, they hugged and they whispered something at each other, but I think we're prepping like a Larry Bird, Magic Johnson rivalry. So when Angel Reese goes into the WNBA.
Yeah.
Oh, no, because she went from being the villain to acting like the victim. Here's what after the press conference. Or after
I just
the game.
Try to stand strong. Like, I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times.
Embrace
death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and, like, not be there for them. So I just want them to always just know, like, I'm still a human, like, all this has happened since I won the national championship, and I said the other day I haven't had peace since then. And it sucks, but I still wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything, and I would still sit here and say, like, I'm unapologetically me. I'm going to always leave that mark and be who I am and stand on that. And hopefully the little girls that look up to me, and hopefully I give them some type of inspiration that, you know, hopefully it's not this hard and all the things that come at you, but keep being who you are. Keep waking up every day. Keep being motivated. Staying who you are. Staying 10 toes. Don't back down. And just be confident.
So what do you make of that?
Okay. I mean, you know.
Sounds sincere.
This is her thing. I'm not, like, I think as she's a great ball player. Angel Reese is not my cup of tea in terms of, you know, how she presents herself. I kind of like a little bit more low-key approach. But that's not where the women's game is right now, because they're trying to get attention and all that. So, like, you know, I'm agnostic about it. Now, there is an aspect of this that probably bears some discussion. So amid this controversy about LSU not being on the court for the national anthem, Jeff Landry, who's the new governor in Louisiana, who's a conservative Republican, puts a statement out on Twitter and then follows it up with a letter to the boards of regents for the public colleges in Louisiana, basically demanding, look, we need to make sure that all of the players are standing for the national anthem, you know, in all of the sporting events for public colleges in Louisiana. And if they're not there, we need to start looking at whether we're going to honor the scholarships for these guys.
Oh, come on.
Well, but here's the thing, okay? Like, your reaction is the same as all of these LSU fans. Yes. They're, Landry needs to say it. But remember this, okay? Every time you have one of these things where there's, like, a mass shooter somewhere, the left-wing politicians go running to the ratchet, and they say, we need to do something about guns, because look at the guns. And we're, as conservatives, we're always screaming, our people need to counter this, okay? So now you have this controversy, which, look, is not about a protest for the national anthem. But what it is it's an opportunity. So Landry took advantage of this, and he says, okay, let's attack the kneelers.
Oh.
Let's use this to attack it. And this is the way you use the ratchet. So he's going to do this thing, and it doesn't even really apply to Mulkey or her team. Now, from a PR standpoint, she's got to have that team out there for the national anthem going forward anyway.
Right.
Like, yeah. I mean, because that – so – but this takes it out of her hands. She's like, that's the rule, so we're going to have to follow the rule. Like, she has now been removed from this controversy. Landry's taken it on his shoulders. But the answer is now we're going to impose consequences – on the people that would protest at the national anthem and irritate the hell out of all the folks that voted for Jeff Landry. Okay.
Using the last game.
It's exactly right. This is, in the initial reaction, everybody's turning their nose up at it, but the effect that this is going to have going forward is exactly the one that everybody's been wanting to have for a decade, which is do something about these kneelers. They make me sick. Okay. Nobody's going to kneel when they think they're going to lose their scholarship.
Right. Exactly.
I think it's smart.
Yeah. Right. Good. Thanks for pointing that out.
I have to admit, I have no idea who you guys are talking about.
Oh, with Angel Reese.
Seen her, but I've never watched her. I've never watched this. Caitlin.
Well, she's the one. So last year they were in the national championship, and she kept ring. So. I do not want anybody to forget this story. So LSU beat Iowa, and Angel Reese with the ring in your face, and Jill Biden, because they have the winners of the NCAA, the Super Bowl champs. So LSU was going to the White House, and Jill Biden actually suggested, Scott, that Iowa come along too. Remember that?
Oh, my goodness.
Because it's women's sport. I mean, how the pandering and the bulge. I was sick to my stomach, and thank God Iowa's coach said, we're not coming. We didn't win.
Exactly.
And shut that down. But I was so pissed when she did that, just because of the whole ring in your face and stuff. And women, guys have been doing that for years, so women could do that.
Right.
Talk smack. We can talk smack just like the best of them,
Angel Reese got that from Joe Burrow. When LSU won the national championship game in football, Burrow did that. Pointed at his finger when he's coming to the sidelines, put a ring on this thing. It's not a particular taunt. It's just, hey, we're winning. We're going to get a championship. Let it be kids. Okay. Let them be kids. You don't have to love it. Just, let them be kids.
Hey, Scott, there's a point to the questions I'm asking you. Do you think that the Joe Biden White House would plan a transgender day of visibility around a Muslim holiday?
I would love to find out.
You think he would do it around a Jewish holiday?
Ramadan was on transgender day of visibility.
You think he would do it around a Jewish holiday?
Well, put it this way. They can't stop stepping on their cranks over the Israel-Gaza war over the Muslim community, right?
Right.
They're now demanding what Hamas is demanding in Gaza because he's trying to get those votes in Michigan.
Right.
So I think that's a pretty like obvious way to answer your question. You know, but it was so funny because as soon as all this happened, here you have Carville shows up on Chris Cuomo's show Monday night. And he's like, oh, nobody in the Biden White House even knew it was Easter. It's like, they had an Easter egg roll, you moron. Yeah, he says, oh, they didn't realize. They didn't know what they're going to. It's like, okay.
It's Easter.
And,
but
we know Biden didn't.
Here's what was so telling. And if you go on YouTube, you can find this clip. So Carville says this, and he starts talking about, well, you know, the people that set this stuff up or whatever. And one of the names he said was Anita. Okay.
Anita.
So who's he talking about? He's talking about Anita Dunn, who is like the primary message maker for the Biden, for Team Biden. She's like the one that created the whole MAGA extremist rhetoric.
Yes.
If you'll remember, the first time we ever saw Anita Dunn was when she got in, I don't know, she wasn't communications director for the White House or something, but like she was like one of the key people in the Obama White House from the get go. And she like didn't make it because video surfaced of her talking about the direct quote was something like, we all know, as Chairman Mao said, that power comes from the barrel of a gun. And everybody was like, wait a minute, is there a Maoist in a key position at the Obama White House? And they did some research on her. Like, she is a Maoist. Well, Anita Dunn has gone on to be the like number one message maker for the Democrats. And so Carville lets the cat out of the bag that Anita Dunn is making these calls.
Oh my God.
So, right, you got Maoists, like, what, you know, what is Mao famous for? The Cultural Revolution, yeah. Right, where you persecute the hell out of people who are not, like, the good communists. Mm-hmm. And she's the one, like, oh, yeah, and he's trying to insulate her. But you know that had to pass her desk. Hey, can we do Trans Visibility, you know, Day instead of Easter? And she's like, yeah, sure.
I know. It's March 31st.
Like that happened.
Always. And that's, you know, that's early Easter for us. But it's also our producer Quinn McCarthy's birthday on March 31st. So his day is forever going
to
be
Trans
Visibility
Day.
No, I'm
really mad about it.
Quinn. Woohoo! We're so proud of you. All right, Scott McKay, we're going to have to leave it here for this morning. Publisher of Hayride, contributing editor at the American Spectator, and author of Racism, Revenge, and Ruin. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm going to give you a call,
always
Scott.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, y'all. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560. The Answer.
All right, who's in? Who's heading down south to watch the total solar eclipse, or as we call it, the total eclipse of the heart?
There's nothing I can do, a total eclipse of the heart.
It's my karaoke song. If you're wondering, John Anthony, come on, sing it.
No, I don't
Once
know this
upon
song.
A time there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark.
I don't know.
Nothing I can say. Total eclipse of the heart.
Okay.
A little too white for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said it's a little too
it's
white
a little
for
too
you.
White for me.
But this is the fun part. Ready? Here we go. Turn it up. Here we go. Have you ever heard this song before?
Never. Yeah.
You can turn it down, fine. Slow fade out, and cut scene.
Who's this?
Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse
who's
of
that?
The Heart.
I don't even know who she is.
Wow.
And I listen to a lot of music.
You've
country
never
music.
Heard that song before?
Never heard that song before.
Oh, we're gonna
maybe
have to,
it was
we're
a backdrop.
We're going to have to go clubbing.
Was it a
at
backdrop
four
of
in
some
the
movie?
No, I mean, it's just one of the iconic songs. Okay, all right. First basketball, now this. Have you ever seen a total solar eclipse?
I never
Maybe
looked at it.
Back in 2017?
Never looked at it. Well, you said, have you ever seen? I'm just messing with you, Amy.
No, put on the glasses.
No, I've never had the glasses, though. I've always wanted to look directly at it, though.
Okay, well, then you're going to love our next guest. I think this is his first time calling in. I don't know. After I was singing, it might be his last.
I'm sure.
Kevin Simpkins, NASA JPL Solar System Ambassador. I think that's the first time we've ever had a Solar System Ambassador on the air. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, John. Thank Wonderful you. To join you and your listening audience this morning. Talk about, well, something that's going to be incredibly spectacular coming up here on Monday.
All right. So with the basics, how should you watch the total solar eclipse safely on TV or online or in person? What's your, because all these ophthalmologists now are coming forward like it's their Super Bowl saying, don't look at it because you could burn the retina of your eye.
Absolutely correct. Now, here in Chicago or any place where there's not totality, you have to have solar protection for your eyes. Doesn't matter if it's 10% coverage, 90% coverage, you're still going to need protection. The only place you will not need protection is during the 4 minutes and 8 seconds in Carbondale during the totality. Then you can take off your glasses. The rest of the time, though, make sure you cover your eyes. The first and most important thing NASA's talking about here is the safety of your eyes.
Wow. So, I mean, because I see these glasses for sale for $1.99 at the Thorntons. Is that really going to protect you?
Well, it will. They're not allowed to sell anything at a retail store unless it meets the National Eye Institute standards. We'll be handing out, we have about a ton of glasses purchased and distributed by NASA that will be available in Carbondale. And, of course, if you need some, I'd be happily able to bring some to you, Amy. Oh, so you and John are protected as well.
Yeah. So are you're going to be in Carbondale for the solar eclipse, right?
That is correct. The festival starts today officially, April 5th. It runs all the way through the 8th. We're going to have a lot of speakers. We'll have NASA Edge there as well doing television. We'll be broadcasting throughout the PBS channels as well. We'll be streaming with some local TV stations. We'll have speakers. We'll have activities for the kids. We even have an expo called the Crossroads event, which is happening on Saturday and Sunday. And it's a chance to come in and see people who are in the space industry. We'll have people from Goddard speaking, people from Adler speaking. I'll be speaking as well. I'll be doing a presentation called Our Solar System and Beyond. But we're definitely going to be focused and heavy on the eclipse and other things. So it should be an exciting experience for family as well as the kids. We're going to have a lot of good eye candy for them.
Wow, and it's such a big deal. I mean, I didn't realize 60 Illinois schools are going to be closing so students can get the full experience on April 8th.
Well, they understand that this is kind of like an opportunity to inspire kids with science. And Carbondale's taking the whole day off, even the college. So we're, you know, in 2017, 7 years ago, when Carbondale had their first event. And please keep in mind, here's what's very incredibly unique about this, is that it's calculated that on average, a total solar eclipse is seen anywhere in America or any place in the world once every 375 years. So now we're having another total eclipse in Carbondale after just 7 years. Wow. So there's a great opportunity here to educate, inspire kids. We're going to have 4 minutes and 8 seconds of totality. It should be a pretty interesting thing. And what's great about this solar eclipse is it's taking part in Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, Indiana, Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire. It covers the whole part of, well, a lot of major cities will be covered here. So we're going to have more viewers here for this eclipse than anyone before.
Yeah, we have family driving down from Kansas City to Cartersville to watch it because it's that big of a deal, which I didn't realize. I mean, I remember 2017. I do believe I was at Great America with Mike Boyce, and we all had the glasses on, and we kept them on. But what, that time when it was dark. It was dark outside. It was really cool.
Well, it's going to happen here as well in Chicago. Chicago is going to experience 94% to 95% totality. So it's definitely going to get dark. You're going to feel the temperature drop. You're going to hear the insects and the animals around you feel and act differently. I've had some friends who are down at Carbondale in 2017. They claim they've had premonitions of the future. They felt that the next 7 years would be screwy. And I said, why did you say that? And they're like, well, think about it. 2017 Cubs were World Series champions, and St. Louis ended in last place.
Okay.
And, you know, So, you know, a lot of people take this very seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Because you experience something that you'll never experience anyplace else. And if I can
share
one other thing that's very neat about what Carbondale is doing is they have an initiative that's being funded by NASA called the Dynamic Eclipse Broadcast. And what we've done is we've set up over 80 teams with telescopes spread across all of North America, and they're going to cover the whole path of totality. So we'll be streaming that in real time. And you'll be able to see those images coming off these telescopes being live streamed to the public. So you're going to be able to see that in the stadium as well as online. So please join us at eclipse.siu.edu. And obviously NASA television, you'll see me there and others doing broadcasting there for NASA.
I just have one question. Has there ever been anybody that lost sight or burned retinas because of it? Has that ever really happened?
I can't really say for sure, but I know there's definitely been damage. There was reports of people who damaged their eyes staring into it. And please,
what causes that?
I'm sorry?
What causes the blindness or the damage to the retina?
Well, there's a few reasons. Basically, it just burns the tissue within your eyes. Mm. So it's just going to get right to the back of your eye. And do not look at it through a pinhole. Do not look at it like trying to cover your hands over your eyes. Don't look at it through binoculars right directly into it during the partial eclipse. Once again, all of Chicagoland has nothing but partial eclipse. So just whatever you can, avoid it. Find yourself some NASA glasses. Get yourself a little strainer. Stick it out there over the ground, and you'll see the eclipse coming through the holes of the strainer. There's a lot of ways to do it without staring at the sun directly.
Okay.
Do not do that.
We got a text message. Do sunglasses work? If you just have your sunglasses on, can you look at it?
No, according to National Eye Institute, you need to have the exact type of glasses needed to protect solar, because sunglasses will absolutely burn your retina as easily as just staring right at it.
Now I might take you up on giving me those glasses.
Sure, be happy to.
I mean, we can't just go to a store. I mean, literally every place I've been going to is 7-Elevens. They're selling them there. And those aren't legit, or we don't know?
No, they're legit. I just, you can even use the glasses from 7 years ago if you want, as long as they're not scratched.
Yes. Now, you know I didn't save those. I was at Great America. But they're expecting, this is, 30 interstates are going to be crowded. This is, they compare it to having 20 or 30 Super Bowls happening all at once.
Well, a lot of people will be traveling across the world just to see it and try to find some totality. And once again, we will not have totality again until 2033. But that happens only in Alaska.
Oh.
And then that's it until 2044, when totality will be confined to just Western Canada, which is Montana and North Dakota. And then we'll have another eclipse in 2025, a total solar eclipse that will cover the nation, coming from North Carolina to Florida. Now, the next total eclipse is, once again, not for 21 years. And it, once again, covers North Carolina to Florida. So this is really a special time, and if you've never witnessed one, like I started off the segment with you, I promise everyone who's listening now, it will be the most spectacular, if not the most spectacular, astronomical event that you can ever witness, weather permitting, of course.
Well, that's the thing. What's the forecast call in Carbondale?
Well, right now we've got about 50-50 chance, no rain, just like what in 2017, but I'm feeling pretty good about it. You know, I think Carbondale is going to be the only place maybe here in this whole path where there's going to be full totality being seen. So we're very optimistic, and weather right now is looking pretty good. But, it's Illinois. You never know what you're going to get.
Oh, I know. You never know. On that, real quick, what time is this going to happen on Monday so people can plan ahead?
Some time. Sure. Let me go back to this. The moon will begin to start covering in Carbondale specifically here at 12:42 p.m. on Monday. Now, the full eclipse won't begin until approximately 2 o'clock, 159 to be exact, but the maximum totality will be at 2:01. It will last for a couple minutes, but the total time is 4:08, and the whole full time the path is over Carbondale, or the whole time that it covers the U.S. continental is, let me rephrase, the total time from the first time the shadow touches the Earth and covers Carbondale, we'll experience about 2 hours and 26 minutes of the whole view from beginning to end of it.
Well, I got to tell you, you got me excited about Monday. I can't wait. I'm going to go get myself some glasses. Kevin Simpkins, you can follow him on Twitter at Kevin Simkins, S-I-M-K-I-N-S. He's with NASA JPL Solar System Ambassador. And thank you so much. I'm really, you've gotten me pumped up. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Everybody in Chicago, it's going to be visible at 1251 to 322. So get out there, enjoy 94 to 95% totality. Find anybody that you see at SIU, at our NASA websites, SIUEclipse.com. And just be safe, everybody. That's all I really want to get across in this segment and how important it is to protect your eyes.
All right. Thank you so much, Kevin. Always a pleasure. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
You're listening to Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
In just a few hours, tip off between UConn and University of Iowa Hawkeye. Girls basketball, you're not going to be watching, right?
No.
Because you don't like girls basketball. You haven't even tried it, so you don't even know what you're missing.
No, I have tried it. I mean, low scoring games, no defense, can't make shots. I mean, I think
you're being a little too critical for somebody who hasn't watched any.
Well, when Lisa Leslie was in there, because she was a person that could dunk the ball. I'd watched a few games of hers, but like I've been to a Chicago Sky game, you know. But
What are those like? I haven't been to
with
one
my
yet.
Daughter. It's empty.
It's empty.
Empty. Nobody's
but is it boring? Well, I went to a Bulls game and I fell asleep. The last Bulls game I went to, I was on a Friday, and Fridays are the cumulative effect of the weekend with working here and coaching. Yeah. Somebody thought I was taking a whiskey nap. I'm like, I'm not taking a whiskey nap. This product is boring. Boring. Don't you have that drop, Justin? Now you should play when we talk about the NBA because it's boring.
Now imagine that with the college basketball and the WNBA.
All right. Well,
if you fell asleep at a Bulls game, you would fall asleep.
No, I don't know. Anyway, let's welcome, and we're going to start out light before we get into the heavy stuff. Chadwick Moore, New York Times best-selling author of Tucker, the biography of Tucker Carlson. Contributing editor at Spectator World, and his Substack, substack.com/@ChadwickMoore. Good morning, Mr. Moore. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Always a pleasure to be with you guys.
Yeah, I heard you're in Hawkeye country, huh? You getting ready for the big game? Are you going to watch it tonight?
Oh, you know, probably. It might be the first time I've ever seen women's basketball. I know that's shocking. I'm like the only person in America that doesn't watch women's basketball, but I think I have to now because I'm a Hawkeye.
Well, I think you're the only Hawkeye that has probably not watched Caitlin Clark play in a basketball game. So,
true.
Are you in Iowa City or are you in Des Moines or where are you? Or if you don't want to say.
I'm in Des Moines just visiting some family for the weekend.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm sure don't you feel the vibe getting pumped up?
I just got in, but you know, I was actually thinking of going to Iowa City while I'm here, just popping down and checking it out. It's been a while since I've been back.
When was the last time you've been back to Iowa City?
Oh man, it's been at least, I think I visited maybe over 10 years ago, so I don't even know.
Oh, Chadwick, you are in for a surprise. It's a completely different place.
Oh, is it? How so?
All the dorms have been revamped. The downtown area is adorable, and I know my kids hate when I say that. Like, well, why do you say buildings are adorable? But it's just like a quaint. I mean, it was nice before, but they've redone everything. The only thing that's still there, Mickey's is still there, and Sports Column is still there. That's where I worked for 4 years. I love Sports Column. And then there's some new hotels. They just have nice things now.
I definitely remember the Sports Column, and don't remember many nights of the Sports Column in my undergrad. But yeah, it was always a sweet, cute town. So I need to get back and see what they've done.
Oh yeah. Now Quinn, tell me, what year did you graduate Iowa?
2005.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm really old. As one of our sales associates would say, I could probably be your mother. I'm so old. That's not fun. Okay, so you wrote this article that's a little provocative. Do you want to start with a question?
You can have edit on this one.
Here's the title. What I don't understand about these women and their abortions. Do tell.
Why would you say that's provocative?
Well,
you know, I was just, so you had the Biden administration this week saying, you know, they think Florida's in play. Okay, well, allegedly that has nothing to do with the 326,000 migrants they've flown there. But they're saying it's because of abortion, because Florida, the Florida Supreme Court has upheld a 15-week abortion ban. And they're saying, you know, this kind of behavior is really going to get, is going to win it for the Democrats. But I've just been thinking about this for a while and finally wanted to say it. And, you know, and a lot of people share this opinion is, isn't, why do we still need abortion? And of course, I'm not talking about when the mother's life's at risk or rape or incest, because virtually everyone agrees with that, you know, safe, right, legal, and rare. But of course, the left doesn't even talk about that anymore. The left has moved on to celebrating abortion for abortion's sake. And they seem to be think that it is the thing that will win them elections. And a lot of people think it's what won them a big head in the midterms, the last midterms. But I was thinking about this, and not only with all the other options available, but, you know, as a gay man, I'm like, if we, you know, people in my community had behaved recklessly in the bedroom, yes, for, you know, until very recently, we died. And we learned very quickly how to protect ourselves. And, you know, now in the last few years, there's a pill come on the market called PrEP, which is basically like birth control for HIV. You take it a day, you don't get the virus.
Really?
PEP, which is like the morning after. Yeah, it's also $1,800 a month. You have to go to the doctor every 3 months to get it. And I think under Obamacare, Obamacare forced insurance companies to pay for it. So there's millions of gay men on PrEP. If you wonder one of the reasons why your premiums are up, it's $1,800 a month for that pill. And a morning after pill option for HIV called PEP, which you have to take within 72 hours. I'm just sort of thinking, you know what? Gay men do all this stuff. Why can't women? I don't understand why this is such a hot button issue. You know, and even 15 weeks, you need 15 weeks to think about it. So I just had to get that out there. I felt.
Jeez.
I'm just shocked. I mean,
So is it still in your system, or, I mean, is it in your system but suppressed with this medication?
So what the PrEP does, and the brand name is Truvada. It's by Gilead, and they make a ton of money on this stuff.
Sure.
And it basically coats your system so that the virus can't attach and then spread. So that if you get the virus, it just dies. There's another – so the what's called PEP, post-exposure prophylaxis, is – a medication you take within 72 hours of potential infection, and it basically does the same thing so that the virus can't then spread to other cells. So that was approved in 2012 by the FDA, and it's sort of what, you know, millions of gay men in this country take every single day now.
I'm in the wrong business.
I had no
idea. I'm in the wrong business.
And then the other pillow is $1,800 a month?
Yeah, the PrEP, which stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis, is $1,800 a month. A generic, I believe, just came on the market, but it's still like $1,000 a month. And insurances are required to cover it. I believe in most states, it might be all states, but certainly most states.
Now, have you gotten pushback by, you know, asking why the heck do women still need abortions?
You know, surprisingly, not as much as I thought, because I think that people would agree with me. I mean, and if I'm making the argument of, well, I'm from another marginalized community and we get along just fine, I think that shuts up a lot of liberals. Now, interestingly, though, you know, HIV rates have, infection rates have kind of, since PrEP came out, it's kind of flatlined. It doesn't continue to go down, which I think is just, it's basically the difference between people who, personal behavior and personal choices, and those who, you know, make the initiative. It's also, if you don't have insurance, if you live in big cities and stuff like that, it's basically free. There's all these, you know, nonprofits and whatever that'll get it for you.
Wow. Now, one thing that they're do you ever understand why women come out and talk about their abortions? That has always behooved me of why would somebody celebrate that?
Well, it's so true. And the only thing I can think of is that, because it's a deeply private thing, and I understand people want the option. Great. But I don't think that's a reason to vote, determine your entire political ideology on this one issue when, number one, you have all these options. And number two, you know, a 15 week ban is, that's what Europe does. You know, what the left thinks is a far more civilized society than ours. That's what most of Europe does. But when you hear them, and seems to be a very recent thing, shouting it, trying to be proud of it. I mean, it just seems like, you know, some sort of pain turned outward. I mean, it's not something to be proud of. It's a private thing, and it's a sad thing. It's a very, very sad thing. And so I don't understand why you want to, you know, pretend that it isn't.
And in California and in Illinois, you can get an abortion up until
9 months, right?
Up until the day you give birth. And wow. Gavin Newsom was pushing me. I was like, well, nobody uses that. No one does that. It's like, that doesn't matter.
There.
The point is that it's an option.
Yeah.
What does that say about your society that it's even an option? You know, it's demonic and grotesque. It's ghoulish.
Hey Chad, I want to piggyback on something you said, that you think abortion is going to be the driver. I don't think so in Florida. I think the marijuana is going to be the biggest driver. And I think that's what I think it was Kansas that passed that abortion bill. But they also had marijuana on the bill, on the ballot. So that drove the people to the ballot. I think marijuana is going to play a bigger role in Florida than abortion. What are your thoughts?
You're absolutely right. And well, they do this all the time. They put the two together in elections to drive out the young, you know, the groups they think will vote for them, younger people and women. And then they'll try to get both of those on the ballot at the same time to get those voters out. You're totally right about that.
Yeah.
And then when you look at it, I mean, right now, you know, the latest poll that came out, not a Republican-leaning pollsters, that have Trump ahead of Biden in 6 of the 7 swing states. Guess what they're putting up in all of the swing states now? Either of you. Do you want to take a guess? Guess what the billboards are reading? If you elect him president, he will ban abortions. And there's a picture of Trump.
Oh.
Yeah.
A
national abortion ban, which I don't think
he's called for.
No, he has not called for. And I don't think that when he is reelected or...
I think the 15-week bill
was
something...
The 15-week bill. That
was something he talked about,
yeah,
he hasn't called for anything.
Reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Yeah, and he's... You know, Trump is he's, you know, he's from New York City. He's kind of a libertine, and nobody thinks he's going to do a nationwide ban. I think he's even said we got rid of Roe v. Wade, which was the right decision. It was a legally in dark waters the way it was decided, and you know it's back to the states now, which is how it should be. And I think a lot of people agree with that. A lot of conservatives agree with that as well. Leave it with the states. Don't have it to be enshrined in federal law.
Yeah, win elections to change it. That's how I say.
All right, Chadwick Moore, we're going to have to leave it there. New York Times bestselling author of Tucker, the biography of Tucker Carlson, and contributing editor at Spectator World. And don't forget his substack.com/@Chadwick Moore. Chadwick, always a pleasure having you on. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. Right. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Open mic. Open mic Friday.
Sing it.
Call it now. Open mic Friday.
All right. 312-642-5600. Turnkey.pro answer line. Call us about any comments you have. What does Dan say? Crack pottery. Whatever you think you want to talk about. Biden's daughter's diary, you want to talk about anything, let us know. Because later we're going to play Biden's favorite White House memory.
Oh, boy.
Which is pretty creepy. Don't be a creepy Joe. But the sponsor of this fine segment, the segment we look forward to all week long, is David Kolsek from Turnkey.pro Answer Line. He's the sponsor of our Answer Line and of the segment. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning, John and Amy. Hey. I have to agree with John about the women's basketball thing. It's kind of like Campari. You have to try it a few times before you know you like it. I tried Campari once and I can't stand it, so I'm not doing that. And I don't like women's basketball. But I will watch it just because it's going to be on. And it's an interesting thing to see. So, sorry.
Well, you got to be following Caitlin Clark. I mean, she's America's sweetheart.
Well, how can you not be? I mean, she's like the Taylor Swift of women's basketball. So, I mean, it's cool. It's a great story. I like it. I think it's great to engage young girls. She's, you know, seems to be a wholesome person. I think that's all good stuff. So, but I still think it's a little boring. It's not as fast paced. They're not dunking,
Come on.
Especially with the men, you know, again,
that LSU Iowa game was so fast paced.
What's fast paced?
Layups in the paint are hot. That is sexy.
Define fast paced though.
But anyway, well, you have your Purdue Boilermakers. So congratulations.
I do. Thank you. Well, so far, we're happy with that, and now we're going to get greedy. But anyway, I want to say a couple things. The coincidental alignment of Easter Sunday and this transgender day of visibility caused a big stir. You know, I thought that they announced this on Easter, and it wasn't around before now, but I looked around a little bit, and I found out that transgender day has been around since, like, 2009 or something. And it's unfortunate that this revelation happened on Easter Sunday to most of us, but it's, to me, it's a giant middle finger to Christians. You know, the first thing I saw on Easter Sunday was this. I couldn't believe it. I felt like somebody spit in my face again. I thought it was the first time they were doing this, but looks to me like it's a full-fledged attack on every God-fearing United States-loving family. I mean, destroying the nuclear family seems to be the objective, and it's obvious, but it's really not working. You know, if any time these types of actions that come about, you know, daily are making people angry. You know, you're seeing these things in the news or wherever, and we're really less sympathetic to whatever new woke concept that they throw out there. And I wanted to say, during my travels to Mexico this last week with my family, I saw many migrants in the airport, all with packets of papers and plane tickets, new cell phones, and some of them had guides moving them from cars to vans to buses and all that. And some of them even looked like they didn't have parents with them, but I couldn't confirm because I didn't speak to any of the kids. But it's clear if you go to any terminal at O'Hare, you're going to see the same thing, and it's maddening. You can also look at the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse, you know, and however that happened, there's a lot of theories. Oh. I've got my questions, as we all do, but why would our government pay to rebuild that bridge instead of making the giant shipping company's insurance company pay the bill? I don't get it. Are they not insured? Why should we pay for it?
Mitch
McConnell. There you go. Yeah, that's a good answer. And Teslas go in reverse on their own into lakes. That's another day. And we all believe, you know, this is our tax dollars at work. I mean, everybody that I know works hard to provide for their families. We go to work, we pay our taxes, we pay outrageous real estate taxes, and inflation is like the biggest tax of all, but it's invisible. And the fatigue over this is really, you know, it's very visible as we perceive our government is taking our money from the hardworking people and redistributing it to the illegals. I hear the benefits of crossing the border are so good that guys will make trips back and forth just to milk the system.
Oh, yeah.
I saw something from yesterday. Jeannie Ives sent something through, you know, on an email, and I got it. And it said it showed a 1,000-square-foot house in Cook County with a real value of $310,000, whose taxes went 240% in 5 years. Again, sickening and insane. Do we really own anything? Even if that homeowner of that $310,000 house owned that house free and clear, they would still be paying over $600 a month for the privilege of owning their home in real estate taxes. You know, that's some privilege. And I know that in the last 25 years, I did a calculation this last year, and this also made me mad. I paid more in real estate taxes for this building that my office is in than it's worth. You know, how can that be, and how can it be sustained? You know, my sense in the last week when talking to strangers on vacation, I think everyone's getting really angry. And I can't tell you how many times I heard someone say, this time of year, I just really wish I didn't have to pay my taxes. You know, they're just going to send it to Ukraine or Israel or give it to migrants for shelter, money, all kinds of benefits that our own people don't get. Let's ignore our bridges, ignore our roads, crap on our veterans, give the invaders more benefits and rights than people who all do the right stuff. You know, people are just angry, and we're befuddled, and we see all these aggressions by our own government as directly contrary to what we believe in and value. So it seems so intentional, and yet we keep paying our taxes. We're programmed to fear the IRS and, you know, pay whatever an auditor would say we owe. We should fight them too. You know, and after all, if they can print money endlessly, why do we have to pay income taxes? I remember, and Amy, you might remember my dad in the area here. My dad was audited in the late 80s for our family business, the funeral, Colsack Funeral Home here in Wheeling. And I think it was in the late 80s, but he was told that he had to provide the IRS auditor a chair and a desk for the audit. So do you know where he put the chair and the desk?
Where?
In the embalming room.
Yes.
Classic, right? needless to say, that audit didn't last very long, and I thought it was brilliant. My dad, you know, he hated the IRS, but he always did what he was told. And, you know, the question is, should we? You know, most people living in the United States don't have any clue that the Internal Revenue Service is a foreign agency. You know, to be more accurate, the IRS is a foreign private corporation and is the private army of the Federal Reserve. It's the main goal of that organization to make sure the American people pay their taxes and be good little servants. You know, like the Federal Reserve, the IRS isn't part of the United States government. Instead, it's a collection agency of the privately owned Fed. Now, I have to go back and say I fact checked this with Snopes and Google, and they disagree with me on everything I just said. So I know that's one way I know that I'm right about this. You know, I also get a kick out of people when they get excited, they get a tax refund. Of course, I'm excited too if I get a tax refund. But if you look at what you paid in, so if you paid $13,000 in income tax and you get a $3,000, you know, refund, that means the IRS gave you back your money.
Right.
And they made money on your money while they counted it. So the question is, if we're paying our taxes to a foreign entity, how come we all think that the money we pay to the IRS goes to run our country? Because that's what we've been programmed to believe. So look it up yourself and do some research, guys, because what got me looking at this issue was a lecture given by a woman named Sherry Jackson, a black woman who used to work as an IRS agent in the 90s. And again, her story's on YouTube. You can find it. Her name is Sherry Jackson, and it'll get you started down this kind of interesting rabbit hole that taxes are voluntary and we shouldn't pay them anyway. But anyway, to sum it all up, what I'm really trying to say is, number one, leave the nuclear family alone. Stop pushing alternative lifestyles and genders on us. We don't want them. Number two, give us back our Christianity. Number three, stealing our money. Stop stealing our money and using it on people who aren't even Americans. And have a great weekend. Enjoy the eclipse on Monday. And, you know, one more thing, boiler up, right?
Yes. Let's do that
on Saturday.
That'll be fun. Thank you so much, David Kolsick, turnkey.pro answer line. Sponsor of our segment, 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. If you don't have a line at first, keep trying, because eventually we will hopefully get to you. Let's start out in Texas. Glenn in Galveston, Texas. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Howdy, y'all.
Howdy. Uh-huh. Can I get a y'all?
Yeah.
Yes. So if Trump gets convicted of half of the things he's indicted for, then he can officially run as a Democrat.
Hey-o. Thank you. Appreciate that. Speaking of the president, did you see the Oyster Bunny? Did you know what I'm talking about?
Thanks, everybody. And by the way, say hello to Oyster Bunnies. Come on up.
All those oysters. I love those shucking some oysters at the White House lawn. But
I love oysters now, actually.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. When I was, I couldn't think about even taking one when
it's
I was
muscles
a kid.
It's muscles.
But it is amazing.
Oysters are
amazing. Oh, it is amazing.
Where do you get your oysters?
Well.
Why are you making me hungry?
I've been hungry, so I didn't eat breakfast.
Okay. Well, where do you get oysters?
Well, when I go out to restaurants or something like that, you know. Yeah, right. So, and then we
have you ever tried mussels? Oh,
I was just at the Mike. I did the emceeing of the Mike Lindell event at Barrington Golf Club. They had them. Oh, they were amazing.
Oh, look I was at just you. Sitting there. Did they have caviar too?
I was just sitting there. I was just sitting there. I ate so many of them.
You bellied up to the oyster.
Oh yes, they were good.
You're like boxing people.
Hey, they're expensive.
I know.
It's
free food. All right.
Free?
So Biden says everything's fine. Al Roker's talking about how Americans are struggling. He'll have none of it.
You know, my buck isn't going as far. What do you say to those folks about the economy and what's going on?
Well, I say we have the best economy in the world. We got to make it better. We really do have the best economy in the world. Jobs are up more than they've ever been. We're in a situation where the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years is maintained. We have people who just, but people, look, I think we're going to find out that what happened as a consequence of the crisis we had in health is have a lasting effect. Mm-hmm. And we just got to get people to move again. We're ready. I mean, I think the country's ready to come together in a way that I've never, I mean that sincerely. I'm truly optimistic.
We got to come to way to get the country to move again. What does that mean? Well, U.S. layoffs reached 14-month high. The number of layoffs in the United States went up in March. The total job cuts for the month was 90,309, a 7% increase from the previous month. Whoa. Everything's great.
Yeah, so it's
going swimming.
300,000 jobs last
But look at this was gross. His favorite White House memory.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you hear this?
I did.
Oh, creepy Joe, no.
Our kids jumping in bed with us, our grandkids, when they're down here, just sneaking up and jumping in bed with us. That's my favorite memory here. They love it. They love wandering through the halls. They love, there's two floors upstairs, a lot of bedrooms. It's a private residence. And they just love coming down.
Well, thank you for opening up the house for the Easter egg rolls.
This is your house, pal.
All right.
Enough of you two ladies talking. Did Biden acknowledge his seventh grandchild? That would have been a perfect time for Al Roker to say, oh my God, why can't I say his name? What about your seventh grandchild? You said that you were going to acknowledge her. What efforts have you made to have her come to the White House? Is she one of those kids jumping on your bed in the morning?
Do you think they would ask that question? You see Sage Steele's talking about how she when she interviewed Biden, it was so scripted.
Oh,
so that means he knew all the questions.
Oh, yeah, because he's a doddering fool. Yeah.
Here as we get set for a wonderful day in sports. Opening day for America's national pastime.
This was about 2 months after he took office. That was an interesting experience in its own right because it was so structured and I was told, you will say every word that we write out. You will not deviate from the script and go. To the word, like every single question was scripted, gone over dozens of times by many executives, editors and executives. Yeah. Absolutely. I was on script and was told not to deviate. It was very much, this is what you will ask. This is how you will say it. No follow-ups. No follow-ups. Next. Yeah. I knew that this was a lot bigger than just the wonderful editors that I worked with. This went up to the fourth floor, as we said, that were all the bosses, the top executives, the decision makers are the president of our company, the CEO, where they all work.
My God. I mean, well, we knew it was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that's why Al Roker didn't ask him about we just seventh, you know, all those grandkids. What about your seventh one? That would have been great.
Yeah.
They would have smacked. NBC would have lost their FCC license if they would have asked.
He stumbles when he goes off script.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't have that script, he stumbles. You know, so I mean, that's why they won't let him, you know, come out.
Well, what about debating? That's why
he don't want
to debate Trump.
Nah,
I
would be shocked if there's a debate.
Really?
Yeah, I think he'll take the Trump route of saying, "I'm winning, so why should I? I have a huge lead. Why should I debate him?"
But he can't because he's not in a huge lead,
right?
And they could change the posters all they want.
Is there Charlie on the line?
Yes, yeah, Charlie. Let's take Charlie. Evans. In Evanville or Evansville? I don't know. Where are you from, Charlie?
Yeah, I just made up a city. It doesn't matter. Listen, I've been listening to your show. I'm a conservative, but I'm also a fan of certain elements of what the Democratic Party brings to the table. So with that, I'm going to ask you guys a question. Amy, you seem like a semi-level-headed individual.
Sometimes, yes, I am. I'm a recovering Democrat, but go on.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just tuned into your program earlier. I want to ask you guys a question. I want your audience to answer this. Let's say I'm 28 or 29 years old, and I knock on your door. Let's say you live wherever you live, and I say I'm from the gas company. And I say, listen, we need to check your gas line because we think there's a leak in your gas line. And you're like, you know what? I trust you. Come into my home.
I would never do that.
No.
Okay, but hold on. Okay. But some people would. Okay, do you want me to finish or do you want me to stop? Okay, so let's say you agreed with that and you saw, you know what, this person looks very professional. I trust this person. I'm going to let this individual into my home. Now, let's say once you allow me into your home, I pull out a gun and I hold it to your pregnant belly and I'm like, and I say horrible things to you and I terrify you and I say, shut up. And all my friends come in and they rob your house. Here's my question to you.
So you're going to George Floyd me. Okay, go on.
Okay, is that where you think I'm going with this?
No, I don't know where you're going with this. But this is you're going somewhere, so let's get there, buddy.
Oh, look at you, Amy. Amy's like, I'm going to push this. I'm going to push
this.
No,
I want to hear this. Go on. With this hypothetical. Go.
No. I am going with a George Floyd narrative. So my question is, obviously you knew this, and most of your audience knows this. Why is this individual honored? Why is he such a national hero? Amy, if you were my daughter, my sister, my wife, and somebody did this to you, and I was around, I would decapitate this individual. I would put a bullet in this individual's brain, regardless if he's black, white, Irish, Armenian, whatever his nationality is. Why are we honoring this individual?
I'm with you.
Why is this?
I'm with you, Charlie.
No. Blacks have been crapped on since humanity. Horrible, horrible, horrible things have happened to black people. And to this day, horrible things happen to black people. But why is this individual, I don't get it. Why is he glamorized? Why are there statues? Why is this individual part of a movement?
Yeah, because he's part of the
University
agenda.
Of Iowa, and his mural is plastered on this one house right before you get onto I-80. And I just want to give them a pamphlet of, I hope that
he
they
fit
see
an agenda.
The fall of Minneapolis is a great. Have you seen that, Charlie? It's on YouTube. It's free.
I think I saw it. I just think horrible things have happened at blacks, African Americans. I just don't get why this individual who had a horrific history, a background of horrible things that he did, and I'm not sure what his background was, and it's just I don't get it why this individual.
Watch that, and you'll see his background. He was high. Yeah. He had fentanyl in his system.
Yeah.
And COVID. 11,
well, I don't know if he had listened. He obviously,
he
I don't know
no,
what happened.
This according to the medical examiner's report.
I read it twice. He had 11 NGLs, and the normal amount that'll kill people is normally 2. He had 11.
Yeah, because he's chronic.
And Charlie, I'll tell you why. Because he fit an agenda. The Democrats believe never let a good crisis go to waste. They were able to capitalize on his death. I mean, remember, was it Joe Biden that said this was the greatest death since Martin Luther King or something better than Martin Luther King?
Yes.
I mean, think about that. I mean,
Martin Luther King would be rolling over in his grave because he was no Martin Luther King.
Right. George Floyd did not have to die. He gets in that car. He's still alive today. So stop making excuses for George Floyd. And I mean Eric Garner is still alive. You know, if these liberals hadn't passed a law that says you had to you can't sell loose cigarettes. I mean, come on. Come on. Stop blaming the cops.
Do you want to know what's really pathetic about me introducing this? Everything in our country right now seems to be only about race.
Yeah.
They're looking for that the populace, 13% of the, I think blacks make up 13% of the populace. And they're trying to say, listen, I'm a white man. I've been white my whole life. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I'm like, you know what? I think I've heard white people in my lifetime use that N-word, hard R, and maybe 3 people in my life have used that word. I don't know white people that use that word. And I grew up in the Midwest.
I do.
I just. Okay. Wait, hold on. You really know white people
that use that word? I know a lot of them that have used it. I actually used it to me. Said it to me. I don't.
That's not good.
N-I-G-G-E-R-S.
Oh, my God.
This guy told me that. Oh, I don't vote for N-I-G-G-E-R-S.
All right, Charlie, thank you so much for calling. We have to get move on to other callers, but. You're welcome back anytime. Have a good weekend. Let's go to Dawn in Naperville. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, everybody. You know, regardless of color, everybody wants human flourishing. I don't understand why people get put in these boxes. The reason I called was to remind everybody that the Illinois Right to Life banquet, the tickets are still for sale. They have some available. It's Friday, May 10th over at Drury Lane. Please go there and get your tickets. But if I can just say one more thing to John. John, you were my state rep when I lived in Kendall County. And a long time ago, you held a phone forum, to give taxpayers information on how to appeal their property taxes.
Yeah.
And it was a time when a lot of homeowners like now were hurting. The market was in terrible disarray. And I just want to give kudos to you. You did so much good for the people that you represented. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hear a lot on this show about, they'll say, well, you know, why aren't people doing anything? Well, a lot of times people just don't know what to do.
It's true.
They don't have the foundational data to do something. They don't know the inside baseball. And when you're there on the ground or whatever you're involved in, whatever committee you're on, whatever advocacy that you do, and you find out more of the inside baseball, the reality and the disarray that goes on, then you know what to do. But I just want to give you kudos.
Thank you.
Your leadership is so well respected.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I didn't have her
very
call
nice
in to say that.
No,
so.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Dawn. I really appreciate the phone call. Text message. John and Amy, George Floyd is honored because the left is better organized to create a narrative than conservatives.
That's factual. Okay. Factual. That happens all the time.
Mike in Yorkville, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Troublemaker.
Good morning, John and Amy. You know, welcome to the Matrix. You think about it, you know, this Ashley Biden diary, when it's found, it's called stolen. You have George who overdoses, it's called murder. And you have, you know, this idea when we're talking about abortion, that it's the idea of something that's a policy when it's been morals for all this time. The Pandora's box has been opened up so much, everything is spilling out because there's ideas, and we've crossed the threshold of things that we should have never been crossing. But unfortunately, when you have government
that agrees with everybody that wants to go ahead and dive into their moral depravity. What's stopping it at this point?
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Mike, for the phone call. Stephen Niles, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to know if the environmentalists would fly on a battery-operated airplane.
Oh, I don't know. No. I wouldn't fly on a battery-operated airplane.
I wouldn't. No,
I'm going to go with the gas guzzling guy.
Well, there would be saving fuel, no?
Oh, yeah, I know. They got it.
Bye.
Thanks, Steve, for calling in.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. That would be a little scary.
I'm not doing that.
Especially if it's self-piloted.
No,
what is that, like the Tesla?
Autopilot, yeah.
I
don't do that.
China may hack into it.
No.
No. I'm sorry. I'm a conspiracy theorist on that.
Greg in LaGrange, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
How you doing?
Hey, but
don't fall for this race stuff. Don't fall for it.
Yeah.
John Anthony, you know, I call your show on Saturdays. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
You and Verlon are my brothers. I don't care what color you are. As a matter of fact, go and conduct a little social experiment. Start saying hi to people like I did, like I usually do anyways, at a Walmart. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what color they are. Doesn't matter what religion they are. Doesn't matter what gender they are. People are people, and they say hi back, and they are human beings, and they should be treated as such. This is just a prop by the wind that wants to go out and take over this country, as we see what's happening at the national level, to put people up against each other. Don't buy it. We're all one. What we share is an ideology, and that's what we need to preserve. And it doesn't matter if you're what color you are. We all can have it, and we all believe in it. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, we're all brown, you know, just different shades of brown tone. You know, I just spoke recently at a group in LaSalle County, predominantly white, and they were shocked that I said this. I said, white men, I want to speak to you. Stop being afraid to be white. Stop being afraid to give your opinion on something because you don't want to be labeled racist or, you know, stop it.
I can't imagine being a white man right now.
But guess what? Be you.
Right.
If you know you're not racist, you know you're not all these different isms that they try to throw on you, live your life. Guess what? America needs you to grow a pair so that we can recover. First of all, I'm speaking to Illinois men. We need you to recover so that we can take back Illinois and take back the country.
Yeah.
We won't do it if white men are afraid to be white. Because I guess what? I'm black, I'm white, I'm all type of things, but I'm going to always be who I am. And you know what leads me, Amy? And I'm not always perfect in it, but my faith. That's what leads me. I don't run from that. I don't hide from none of the things that I've ever been through in my life. I tell it openly. And once I get the courage or the nerve to finish writing this book, I'm going to do it.
Good.
You know?
I have a chapter of one of your books.
Uh-oh.
I'm not telling you on the radio.
Okay.
I'll tell you off.
All right.
Bob in Buffalo Grove, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, Amy, and great to hear you, John. Always like it on Fridays when Dan's out.
Thank you.
Time off, and we have open mic Friday with you and John. Earlier this week, I attended a Heartland Institute meeting on international globalism. But at the end of the meeting, they opened it up for other discussions, and this topic of the Supreme Court came up. And the speaker, Larry Swihart, who I think you've had on your program, discussed the Supreme Court and suggested that Judge Sotomayor has some health issues. And could possibly Biden replace her if Trump gets elected? If Trump gets elected and her health issues surface, Trump will get to replace her with a different type of person. Then he went even further and said Clarence Thomas might resign. And Trump would get an opportunity to replace Thomas with a like-minded judge. And then
Alito
was even thinking out of the box, saying that Chief Justice John Roberts might resign. And again, Trump would have the opportunity to replace him. So Trump, if he gets elected, replace three more Supreme Court justices.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a big one. Amy. Hey, Bob, you want to talk about the solar eclipse real quick and cell phones?
Yeah, sure, Rob.
Let it rip.
You can go down there and check it out, but I checked out that if you shoot with your cell phone at a at the sun, bright sun, or with a digital camera, you shoot it too long, you'll burn out the chip that's in the camera.
Oh, really?
And ruin your phone.
Bob would know. He takes pictures.
There are filters to put on your camera.
Okay. Where are you going to be on Monday, Bob?
I'll be down near Carbondale. My wife found a small town that had a hotel because they're really charging stiff rates for hotels. Then the other issue is going to be traffic, because I've heard horror stories how bad it was at the last eclipse, that traffic just wasn't moving.
Yeah. All right, Bob, we'll have fun. Have a great trip, Bob. And I'm sure you're going to send us pictures.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Have luck. Hopefully it'll be clear.
Amy.
Yeah.
Great weekend.
Thanks.
All right, take care, Bob. You know, I'm gonna have this former Wisconsin State Senator on my show Saturday.
What's his name?
Frank Lassie, right?
Uh-huh.
He ran against Mike Gallagher, who's the congressman who's leaving after April 19th so that a special election can't be held.
This
seat's going to remain empty. It will leave Mike Johnson with a one-seat majority in the House. All he would need is two Republicans to come over
parties.
And switch parties for Hakeem Jeffries to be the Speaker of the House before the election of 2024.
Why is he doing that?
Well, you got a lot of conspiracies out there who believe that they're going to make sure Trump, if he wins the presidency, he doesn't become president. Yeah, there's a lot of conspiracies out there that if Hakeem Jeffries takes over the speakership, which can happen.
Oh, I know.
That can easily happen.
Just two heartbeats away.
Republicans
yep.
who looking at their prospects for the next election and like, wait a minute now, Hakeem, what you going to give me?
Ooh.
That happened with Trump, with that guy from, I forget where he was, from Virginia, I believe. You know, I mean, that's something to think about.
But guess what? What?
Only Republicans do this type of stuff, right? Democrats don't do this type of stuff. They don't try to undermine elections or anything like that. That's not who Democrats are. It's only Republicans.
So do you think somebody got to Gallagher?
It was a guy on Charlie Kirk's show yesterday. He said a lot of these people are leaving because they've been found in compromising situations and they have evidence and stuff on them. And a lot of them are leaving. This was a sitting congressman on Charlie Kirk's show yesterday who said this. And Charlie was baffled. He was like, wait, let's stop this conversation and let's take this ride. And that happens. That happens.
Oh, my God.
His name is Mike Gallagher. Not the Mike Gallagher.
Our Mike Gallagher, the other one. All right, Carl in Northlake, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hi, Carl.
Good morning. I got a PSA for the best place and the best time to watch the eclipse on Monday.
Okay.
After work, at home, with a beer in hand, blue moon, for the blue balls going across the sky.
Hey,
your cell phone.
What's
your cell phone? Like and say that way you won't waste any time or money, and you can bank it for July, August, when it's good and hot outside, to go somewhere for 3 days and have a good time.
Great. Thanks, Carl. Appreciate the tip. You're the best. Corey in Lake Mills, Wisconsin.
Ooh.
Good morning, Corey. How are you? Are you a first-time caller?
Oh, heck no. No, I've called a few times. I love you guys.
We love you, too. Welcome back.
My wife and I grew up in Naperville. We left back in 92, back when it was a nice town. But one of the things I used to love doing was being downtown and randomly saying hello to people on the streets and watching them crap their pants.
Oh, I know.
People there don't want you to say hello.
No one does in Illinois. And then you go to somewhere like Utah and it was like, hi. Yeah. And I said, you looking at me?
Right.
You talking to me?
Yeah.
I was in Lena, Illinois for my good friend Joe Smek's funeral. Lena, Illinois.
Where's that?
Lena? It's a suburb of Rockford.
Oh, Galena.
No, not Galena.
Oh.
Lena.
Oh,
it's on your way to Galena.
Never heard it.
It's a little mini Galena.
Oh.
No, it's about, I don't know, a couple thousand people live there. Really cute community. And I was walking to my car, and somebody said hi to me. I'm like, what? I would literally. And they're just local people. Yeah. They're like, hi, we say hi to everybody. Yeah. I'm like, oh, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
It was sweet.
We say hi to her. I mean, Joliet.
Well, you do.
Where I live in Joliet. You know, I talk to anybody.
Right. But try say little, and you know who told me about this? Mancow. Oh. He goes, go to Missouri, because my sister is in Missouri and his brother is in Missouri. And we were talking about how everybody says hi to everybody. Yeah. And then you come back here.
Yeah.
And I'll say hi to people, yeah, and then they won't say anything. Like, this is when you say hello back.
Right. Texas is the same way.
Most same places way. Are. All right. Thanks, Corey, for the phone call. Let's go to Tom in Blue Island. Hi, Tom.
Uh-oh. Hi, Amy. Happy Friday.
Thank you, Tom. You too.
It's April, Tom.
That guy you're with, that guy you're hosting this show with.
Yeah, what about him? What you's got?
John, I've never even intimated that something in your life was related to race. The fact that you don't know the song Turn Around Bright Eyes by Bonnie Tyler, I cannot believe it, John. That there is...
Why am I supposed to know it, man?
How
I grew
do
up in
you
the
not
hood.
Know that?
You're supposed to know it, John, because you're old enough to have known. You could get any woman to disrobe in about 10 minutes if you just play that song once or twice.
I had no idea about this song, bro. I grew up in the hood, man. What are you talking
thanks,
about?
Thanks, Tom, for calling. Oh, my gosh. All right, quickly, let's go to Chuck in Delavan, Wisconsin to close it out.
Hey, thanks for thank you very much for mentioning my garage band, Grow a Pair. Hey, I want to know what the carbon footprint is on this eclipse. I'm asking everybody to stay home. Don't turn your lights on. Otherwise, you're going to cause the grid to overload, and you'll have a brownout. What I suggest all your listeners to do, go out and buy soy sauce.
Soy sauce?
Get ready for when the cicadas come out of the ground so you can cook them in your wok. That's what everybody should be doing this next week. Have a great weekend.
The cicadas aren't going to pop out after 4 minutes. All right. Thanks so much for making us part of your morning. Thanks to Justin Kosick, our technical producer, and Quinn McCarthy, whose birthday is what day?
March 31st.
Which is?
Easter.
Quinn's birthday.
Well,
it's Easter this year.
Easter
next year is the third week of April. It's really late.
It never falls on my birthday. That's something.
Oh, when's your birthday?
Actually, April 13th.
Oh, you're an April birthday, so is Dan Proft. Nice. Yeah. All right. I think I'll celebrate yours. You're not even 50 yet?
I'll be 48.
He's just a widow baby.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.